from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Is this from the Match.com thing you had?
It is, Frank. And overwhelmingly, the majority of people who responded to their survey of sex and sexual sexy sex habits happen to be millennials. So for millennials, check this out.
Does that mean more millennials are on Match.com?
It means more responded to the sex survey. Oh. I don't know if there's more using the survey. Or not. I mean, this is basically for younger people under the age of, say, 35. How many say, or at least admitted in their survey, they have sent photos of their genitalia?
Oh, 100%.
100%?
100%.
Heidi, come on.
The
come on.
Rest, if it's lower, they're lying.
Really?
You're saying everybody on the planet then sent a junk.
Have you? Yes, I have.
Yeah.
No.
Frosty.
You too. You, Hussy.
Frosty
you.
Never has. I. There's no way Frosty's ever taken a picture of his penis.
I don't think he would photograph well. I'd have to pull my gut and belly up and then squat
set
over
the timer. I'd be like, oh, hang on. I got, okay, oh, 10 seconds.
Get the panoramic out.
Oh, God. It looked like a mudslide.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What angle are we taking it from?
I guarantee if I showed you a photo, you wouldn't know what it is. It would take 5 minutes to soak in. And even then, you might not get it.
Is it? What?
No, trust me. Really, that's me. No.
It can't be. No human looks like that.
I would never. Even if I were in shape and proud of what I have, I still wouldn't.
There's I'll say 7 out of 10. 70%.
Heidi says all. You say 70%. Well, only 32% of single men admit to having sent photos of their genitalia to someone they're interested in.
I have friends that get penis pictures all the time.
But maybe it's the same 30% of men who are sending them to every woman.
Well,
I mean, they'd be like, hey, you're cute, possible. Penis. You're
really?
Like, take it down a notch. Like, let's do a couple steps first. Yes. It's crazy.
You get penis pictures all the time.
No, I don't. I have friends that get it, that are in that world. And they'll be like, yeah, I met a guy. We're just kind of texting. And she'll show me the text thread. And I'll go, what? Wait, what?
So she keeps the penis pictures.
No, she shows them for me. She knows I'm fascinated. I'm like, save them if you can.
You.
I want to see them. But she'll say, there's like no steps. There's no build. It's just like, yeah, you're cute. Yeah, you too. What do you think? Pick.
Then you're there. See, where do you go from there?
I don't know.
I remember on the survey yesterday or last night, whenever we talked about it, you said that there's no first date anymore. It's sex before first date. So,
show my goods.
Would you be interested in hopping on this thing?
Yeah, looks good.
I guess that's right.
Thumbs up.
Oddly, 90% of women in the survey say they're really not turned on by receiving photos of genitalia. So 9 out of 10 women say, I don't want to get it. I don't want to see it. Stop doing it. But one-third of guys say they're doing it.
You've never seen just that part of a man and thought, wow, that's great. It's turning me on.
No, when I see those pictures, I usually go, he's got nice hands. Or does it look big because he's got small hands? Or, ooh, that's a cute blanket in the background. Like, I'll look at everything else in the picture.
Because he's always holding it in his hand?
Well, yeah, that's a lot of that. It's a lot of, the shot is from him's laying down or sitting down and holding it and then taking the picture this way so you can see that it's in his
hand. You know how they make those selfie sticks? I'm going to make selfie dicks.
Where
basically, it's a baby hand that holds your penis for the picture so it always looks bigger.
Not a baby's hand,
but it's just a small...
It's a Trump stick.
Starting now, the next 40 minutes of Frosty, Heidi, and Frank are totally nonstop.
You're welcome.
It's 95.5 KLOS.
The following stories are true, except for one. It's fake. It's up to you to get the fake out.
Here are your headlines. 18th century scientist once dressed frogs in tiny pants to study reproduction. A new dating app matches people based on their fecal bacteria.
Oh, God.
Just what we need.
Fireball whiskey bagels are now on sale.
Ooh.
Classic artificial flavored tricks will return after consumers rebel against natural recipe. And finally,
Nike's Just Do It slogan is based on a murderer's last words before he was given the death penalty. 1-800-955-5567 is the number. All these headlines are true, but one, which one is fake?
I think the murder would be, I did it, not just do it.
It was right before he was given the death penalty.
Yeah.
And your last words, just do it. That's badass. If it's true.
Aww.
What a horrible, horrible way to ruin it. He could have gone, I'm loving it. So McDonald's like, damn it.
He's ruined it. Here's what I will say. I don't know if this is true, but a dating app where it matches, you know, your fecal bacteria. Mm-hmm. If that is true and they're still working on a name, I suggest eCharmany. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know if that's true or not.
Yes, and it's called eCharmany.
I don't think Nike got their slogan from a guy on death row. I think that seems like the fake story to me.
Frank, what was the Fireball thing you said?
Fireball whiskey bagels are now on sale.
See, I think I'm figuring you out. As much as I want that to be true, and I'm hoping it's true, it probably isn't true. I think that's the fake.
Okay. Lisa May, get the fake out.
God, I'm kind of heading towards where Heidi is with the Just Do It, but I'm thinking... The dating app, that might be an expensive thing to do, to even match people up that
way. Well, it's like 23andMe, they just send you a swab, you take a little fecal matter, and I guess if you have the matching...
But even that's like $100.
Internal biome, it's like you're kind of meant
to be. I'm going with that.
You wouldn't pay $100 to find love, Lisa.
What?
Come on.
I'm going to pull a date out of my ass.
Lightamatch.com.
Lightamatch.com.
Or eCharmany. You can go with either one.
Or eCharmany, yes.
I'm not in the marketing world, but just trying to
help. The company's so real, it's still looking for a name like that. And Lisa thinks that's the fake. All right, Eric, what do you think is the fake?
Oh, come on. Frogs in pants. Frogs in pants.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah, scientists once dressed frogs in tiny pants to study reproduction.
18th century, they did wacky things.
They did wacky
bicycles
things
bicycles built for
then.
Two, I mean...
All right. 1-800-955-KLOS is the number. Let's go with Christy first. Hello, Christy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Christy.
I'm hoping it's Just Do It.
Yes, that's what I think, too.
Nike's Just Do It slogan is based on a murderer's last words before he was given the death penalty. That is true.
Dang it.
Yeah, it happened in to Gary Gilmore, who killed two people in Utah, and he got the death penalty in 1976. And his last words, well, he said, let's do it. And Nike admits that their slogan was inspired by that quote.
Oh,
that's real weird to admit.
Yeah, I would never admit that.
I don't want to wear Nikes now.
All right, let's go to Kenneth. Hello, Kenneth.
Hi.
Let's get the fake out.
I'm going to say it's the fans rebel for Trix cereal.
Yeah, classic artificially flavored Trix. Will return after consumers rebel against natural recipe. That is true.
Not really surprising.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
the chemicals always taste better.
Silly rabbit.
Yeah, one guy posted on General Mills' Facebook page. You guys are killing Trix. First the shapes, then the colors. Now it's not even as fruity tasting as it used to be. My favorite cereal is no longer what it used to be. Maybe Trix are just for kids.
What does his wife think about?
Yeah. She couldn't be reached for comment.
So passionate about cereal.
Let's see. Let's go to Gene. Hello, Gene.
Hi, hello. Gene.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Can you get the fake out?
Oh, I hope so. I would have to say the Fireball Whiskey.
There you go.
That's true. I'm sorry. Yes, Fireball Whiskey bagels are now on sale. A bakery in Freehold, New Jersey called the Bagel Nook. Just start selling bagels that are made with Fireball Whiskey.
The whiskey's in the
Frosty.
Actual... Really? Yeah. We've got to get some of these.
Because of the cinnamon flavor, they say it goes well with their apple cream cheese.
Please get a batch of these.
We just learned about booze news. We just learned about booze news. We just learned about booze news. Let's take one more shot.
How do you cook and stuff? And you cook with wine, right? And the alcohol cooks off. Do you think the whiskey cooks out of this?
So you just get the flavor.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, then you could just use the cinnamon flavor.
I don't know.
So maybe it's just a novelty.
I would like a dozen, please.
Yeah.
As Frank pours some good whiskey today.
Yeah, some Woodford Reserve Kentucky Straight Rye.
From the good skinny bottle.
Oh, the rye. That's good stuff.
The rye's the good stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Heidi, you would like this. It's really a smooth, good sip.
You want to try a little sip, Heidi?
Yeah, I'll try a little sip.
I think you'll like Woodford Reserve.
Frank.
What?
Boys have the bottle.
Well, I'm just stop being a sissy. Happy birthday.
It's not my birthday. Try wishing it on my birthday.
So we're chugging, Heidi sipping.
Better right. late than never.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Heidi. Well,
Happy birthday, Heidi. We love you.
Thank you. Cheers.
To the queen. We just learned about booze news. We just learned about booze news. Let's take one more shot.
That's tasty. Yeah,
see?
Down
it's not my favorite, though. It's
got a little kicker to it.
Get a little
so
lid.
It's kind of sour.
No, but it's good. It's good for like the throat.
Does have a
me,
bitter
see? Drink it.
Wang to it.
Weird little flat.
A story of my life.
All right, here we go. Two headlines remain. Julio thinks it's the fecal matter dating app. eCharmany.
Lightmatch.com.
And David thinks it's frogs and pants. Frogs and pants.
Eric, you're still in this one. You're frogs.
Yeah, Eric and Lisa are still in.
The fake headline is... A new dating app matches people based on their fecal bacteria. Lisa and Julio, you were correct. So, Julio, you're going.
Awesome, man. Thank you, guys.
Just wipe right.
Wipe right.
I want this to exist now. There's so much goodness.
Right.
But don't wipe too much. You get Tinder. All right. Julio, you stand hold.
So 18th century frogs were hopping around in studies.
I know you're anxious to get to the frog story, and it's true, Frosty.
Yeah.
Reproduction wasn't always a settled science. Prior to cell theory and the invention of the microscope, inquisitive minds engaged in quite a bit of guesswork over where babies come from. As early as 350 BC, Aristotle proposed a theory of epigenesis, which was essentially correct, but not everyone cared for the idea of a sperm and egg collaboration. They were like, no, it's got to be something different. Some people actually thought little microscopic sperms were fully developed humanoids, like little people swimming around.
Oh, and then you shoot them out, and then we grow.
And then, one would end up taking hold.
Whoa.
Okay.
But there was a scientist in 1736, a French scientist, that shrouded the posteriors of male frogs in pants made from pig's bladder and taffeta.
Why would they put them in a fancy pants?
Taffeta's a fancy, like...
Because if you wanted to reproduce, you gotta have some fancy pants on.
I've never seen
going out tonight, ladies.
Like a hoop skirt, that frilly, hard Cinderella... Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
They're French, okay?
All right.
He aimed to prevent the dousing of frog eggs and examine any male frog secretions caught in the pants to gain a better understanding of how fertilization works. And the frog's tendency to wiggle out of the pants made these experiments challenging. But yes, he put pants on frogs to find out what's going on down there.
Hey, do that, intern. Could you check the frog secretions in the taffeta pants this morning?
We need more secretions. Rub it. That seems
now
to
we know
right
where babies on. Come from, yeah. But we're, now science has turned towards preventing babies with male birth control.
Would you trust it?
Beyond the condom.
Apparently, it's on the up and up. It's out there, and it's on the rise.
So right now you have the condom, and you have vasectomy. Other than that, there's nothing for
males.
Now... the male equivalent of the female birth control pill is closer to reality through research at the University of Minnesota. They say by year's end, they're hoping to get FDA approval to this, which means in 1 to 3 years it may be out there in the marketplace. Where men would have birth control pills they would take just like the women. Would you trust the guy to take his pill? Of course the guy's going to take
his pill. Unless you guys start taking it and you're like, I don't want to take it anymore because I'm like... Getting kind of fat.
Yeah, they don't know.
Breaking out.
They don't know about side effects they haven't said yet.
No, it makes our semen taste like cookies and cream. Birth control.
I have got a sweet tooth tonight.
Oh, hell yeah.
Gosh.
Different pills. Who feels like some mint chip? whatever her favorite ice cream
get
is.
Get me to do that more often.
The good news for guys is you would take your birth control pill as a backup to whatever other methods you're using, like trusting her to have taken the pill, trusting the contraception, trusting the... Plus, you've taken your own pill.
I think there's more trust if you gave the guy the responsibility. I think the fear here is that if you give guys a pill that's just, as strong
and effective as the female contraceptive pill, that babies would stop being born altogether. See, there's no guy going off the pill.
Here's where I'm going to disagree with you, because if you can totally trust guys, how many guys, and I want to know in this room, how many guys have been having sex with a girl, you've worn a condom, the condom broke, you know it, she doesn't know it, but you know it did, and you kept going. How many guys in this room have done that?
Well, how close are we to the finish? I mean, if it breaks early, then I'm probably going to say, hey, it broke early.
Okay.
If it breaks late, sorry, my boys are just powerful. Busted right through that thing.
I just thought it was one of my blisters.
But I'm saying, like, a guy can't be trusted either, because when you want to get laid, you're like, crap, I forgot to take my pill this morning, but oh well.
See, I'm gonna bang her anyway. Heidi's kind of onto something. They actually surveyed.
Condom broke and you kept going.
But yes, but if I've taken the pill, I don't have to worry about condom breaking nothing.
But so can as far I trust as me, you to take the pill?
What but will you take it?
No, but what if you forgot this morning and then we're getting
the condom on? The condom breaking in the middle of the action is way different than I took the pill earlier this morning.
No, here's what I'm saying. If you want to get laid, you forgot your pill this morning. You're like rushing around late for work. And you're like, crap, I forgot my pill. But there's girls like, hey, so do you have anything? You're like, no, I'm on the pill. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
No, I would say, no, I forgot my pill this morning. So I guess we're going to have to go.
You would.
Boo hole. What?
You would.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't take my pill this morning. Turn around.
Oh, my God.
When you say you would, you mean... See, Frank
That's
is...
another form of birth control. Yeah.
Was that the way... Is that how you call, what you call around Halloween?
Boo!
Cookies and scream!
Cookies and squeal.
Frank is right. You would like to believe the men, you got the most to lose if it's an unwanted pregnancy, right? See what I'm saying?
Well, but I'm kind of stuck with
it. But they actually studied people, and they said, would you trust men to take the pill? Only 30% of men and women said you should trust men to take the pill. They said 80% will trust a woman.
No, only 30% will trust
a man. Because you may start thinking with something, oh, yeah. Because you really...
I say we both should be... I feel like I am responsible for what happens to my body. So if I don't want to get pregnant... I'm going to make sure that I don't get pregnant.
But if you do want to get pregnant, you're going to make sure you do.
No, as a guy, I'm saying this is for both people. Like, you should be in control of that. You don't want to, like, I never understand. Like, I can't, oh, we had a kid. It was an accident. It's like, well, did you have sex with her without a condom on? Okay, well, then there's a chance you're getting somebody pregnant. I mean, it just is. So it's like, take every
minute. And there's a chance you could get somebody pregnant with a condom on.
Well, it could break.
There's pre stuff. You know?
Right. I mean, it's been a while, but yeah, I think I recall.
Yes.
Sure.
You can get pregnant from pre-stop.
It's like 99% effective, but that 1% is 1 in 100. Find out otherwise.
Put the condom on sooner. I don't know. And you guys are like, no, I'll just rhythm method, like Anthony. How'd that work out?
Yeah, Anthony, your rhythm method got her pregnant.
Right.
The rhythm is going to get you. That's what you're talking about.
If there's alcohol involved, and usually there is with sex, right. Do you think guys would be more forgetful of whether or not they actually took the
pill? Miami ultrasound machine.
Miami ultrasound.
Well, the rhythm's going to get you.
That's very good.
Yeah. Miami ultrasound
tonight.
Machine.
Would you take it? Would you take a male birth control pill?
Of course.
You would.
Yeah.
If it's on the market, you're just going to take it in case.
Yeah, I'm going to be consistent every day.
Even if you say you would. If you feel like crap and you got a lot of weight gain, you got some acne now on your neck.
That's what happens with birth control. You acne on your neck.
Sometimes, yeah, you get, because it's screwing up with your, it's messing with your hormone levels. So you gain a lot of weight. You maybe go a little crazy. Like, wow, I feel really off. Like, I don't feel like myself. I just feel like.
Well, they're not saying what the side effects for men would be. It may or may not be the same thing that women experience. They
but
don't
it's screwing
know.
With your There's hormones.
Not, it's not the same because we can handle stuff better.
Oh, dear Lord.
We're not like slaves to our emotions.
If you guys bled out of your penises for a week, you would be a nightmare.
No, tell you, look at Sammy right now. Sammy is on her period right now. You know how we can tell? She's deciding not to put on makeup, comb her hair. Guarantee if I was bleeding out my peter,
yeah,
I'd be putting on eyelashes. I'd be doing my hair. You wouldn't even know it. I'd actually act happier just so you wouldn't know it because I'm like, can they tell I'm bleeding out my peter? No, I would be chipper in the office place. I wouldn't be like, I'm on my period. It gives me an excuse not to even get showered, comb my hair. I still comb my hair.
You wouldn't because you probably wouldn't feel like if you've had the worst diarrhea cramps you've ever had.
I still comb my hair if I have diarrhea.
You have diarrhea cramps and you're bleeding out your pee hole for, and you're not going to be like, gosh, let me get up and do my hair and trim my beard. You'd be like, oh, I don't care. They're lucky that I showed up. It sucks. I'm bloated. My back hurts. I'm bleeding for a week.
What's going on with Sammy?
I'm going to put on my finest clothes.
She didn't try at all today. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's
or is
what
there something on some other issue?
Yeah.
I mean, look at her. It's like a street woman in there.
Like a bag lady.
A street walking street woman.
You guys are the worst, by the way.
But
this
look
is
at you.
My daily life is walking into you.
Yeah.
And this is how I get treated.
But normally you at least try.
Yeah. Do I though? We wake up very early.
Yeah, it's tough.
And being on your period, yeah, it's the worst. It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Would you?
Come on, Eric.
None of these guys.
Yes, girls get their periods. Everybody knows.
Okay, Sammy, if you were with a guy who was taking male contraception, would you trust him to have taken his pills? Or do you assume that, like a lot of guys, he's irresponsible and forgets or is thinking with the wrong head? Or
do you think the guy
dump?
You're with wants to get you pregnant?
No.
Secretly. There you go. So you'd trust him if he says, I'm on the pill. You'd be like, okay.
No, I wouldn't, though.
Why?
I forgot.
He doesn't want to get you pregnant?
Yeah, because guys forget
right.
everything.
Women say we're irresponsible.
Not when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're responsible when it comes to the, you know, we're in the act, we've made some mistakes, our rhythm was off, whatever that might be, and we're gonna roll the dice on this one. But if we had the ability to roll the dice and always come up a winner, which means no pregnancy, we're taking it. We are players of odds. Great odds, we cannot help. Good deal, we can't help.
Is there something
we're going to take it?
You consistently take something every single day that you consistently take and you don't ever miss it. Besides shots of whiskey.
And cocaine and amphetamines.
Right,
and,
all that.
Right. You know,
like a vitamin.
No. I don't take vitamins.
So you're not even in the routine of get up in the morning, here's my thing on the counter, got my vitamin.
No, I mean, I guess I eat something every morning before we go on the air. So if there was a pill that I could take with what I eat, I just don't take a vitamin. I think vitamins are jokes.
And the earth is flat.
Really, vitamins are jokes.
Frank, vitamins are not. Vitamins
Frank,
are...
it's chemical biology says otherwise. I mean, they've studied that. You need vitamins.
You're going to get enough.
Die without vitamins.
It's placebos.
You think you get enough riboflavin just in your diet? What about niacin?
Thiamin.
See, you can name them, but why do you need them? You don't need them. I don't take them.
I don't know.
I'm healthier than both of you, and I don't take any vitamins.
People used to say that till they drop dead.
You don't take a vitamin.
I do. I take a vitamin every morning, and I have a routine because I take.
You like the taste of Flintstones.
They're the orange chewable ones. They're delicious.
Those are baby aspirin.
The chewable orange centrums.
Yeah. All right.
But I take a blood pressure medicine pill and a cholesterol pill and a vitamin every morning. And even though I know I need to take, especially the pills prescribed, sometimes I forget.
Do you have a pill thing? A pill sorter with days of the week.
Money.
You take that many pills.
No,
like cholesterol pills.
I don't. But see, but I'm irresponsible.
But
I forget.
No,
if I were
Christmas.
Taking contraception, I'd probably forget sometime.
You'd be like, oh, crap, I forgot it this morning. I was running late.
Yes, guys forget
now
stuff.
Now I'm at the bar after work, and there's a girl there that's like, oh, my God.
And sometimes I think I've taken it, and I realize later I never did. So I think that's what a lot of guys would run into. You thought you took your pill, or you just, you know, were hoping you did, but I'm not really sure. Okay, let's have sex anyway. Then you have it.
I'll roll the dice, as Frank said.
Judy says women lie all the time about being on the pill. Hello, Judy.
Hi, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Girls. So, yeah, I mean, first off, if you think about it, if you're taking your pill, whatever your medicine is on a daily basis, you would take it. And I think a lot of men would be much more likely to be on it so that they can't have a woman say, hey, you got me pregnant, and they're saying, oh, I'm on the pill. Let's take a pregnancy test.
There's,
DNA.
I'm with you, Judy, because there's a lot of guys out there who are getting told that they're the father of a baby they're not the father of. So if I'm just walking around on the pill all the time, like, no, I'm on the pill, so I'm pretty confident the paternity test is not going to come up because I'm on the pill.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I know that guys would probably be 99% accurate with this, but come on, taking my morning pill, sometimes the dog barks or something happens. Oh, I get sidetracked and then I forget to have taken my
pill. Those pills you take mean nothing. They're vitamins.
Oh, I need my blood pressure pills. Come in here, work with you guys.
What happens? You don't take your blood pressure pill. What happens?
High blood pressure. I have a stroke.
Really? Oh. You have a stroke?
Yeah.
Up time.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh. What?
I'm just saying, you get sidetracked. You think you took your pill and you didn't.
Well, that's got to be weird. If you don't take a high blood pressure pill, you could have a stroke and die. This one thing's keeping you alive.
And my blood pressure is fine with the pill. It's fine. I'll have the blood pressure of an athlete. But if I miss that pill within 24 hours, it's like psh, way through the roof.
And you could have a stroke. Your doctor says, don't miss a pill, you could die.
Yeah, it's pretty much genetic plus, look at me. I mean, so it's an essential pill. Huh. And sometimes I forget.
And then when you freak out, so when you rush home, take it.
Yes.
Does he say don't exercise because it increases your blood pressure?
Well, I'm not exercising anyways. It doesn't matter.
Well, I know, but does he recommend, like, you need to just relax all the time?
You don't want your heart rate to go up,
No,
right?
Because if you're taking the pill, your blood pressure's fine. It's fine when you're medicated.
So you could work out if you're medicated?
Yes, I could and should, but whatever.
So you'd rather take this pill that's keeping you alive than...
Well, it's easier than
I don't have to go to the gym. I don't have to spend hours on the treadmill.
But I think if you lost weight, your blood pressure would probably go down naturally.
Would.
And then you wouldn't have to take this pill and you'd just stay alive by being alive.
I wouldn't need the pill. I could save all the time and effort of swallowing it, all the money of buying it. But it's so much easier. Think of all the hours I'd have to exercise every week. I don't have to do any of that.
I think it would just freak me out. Thinking that if I miss this pill, I'm going to die.
Yeah, me too. That
like it's all—it all rides on this little thing in my hand.
Well, that's I just don't miss it. And if I miss it,
that doesn't stress you out. What if you go to your bottle someday and it's empty, and then the pharmacy's closed?
I have a 90-day supply always in my drawer. I've been like 3 months ahead. So if the apocalypse happens or something, I can live for three months.
Apocalypse pills.
Yeah. I never get down to my last pill. And, oh, God, if the pharmacy's closed.
Heaven forbid, work out. You bought 3 months in advance of stroke out pills.
I don't have to work out. I just take a pill. It's a magic pill. Don't you get it? All the hours I don't have to spend in the gym, I can eat. That's hours I can go to restaurants, go to happy hour, eat, drink.
Oh, my God.
I mean, all this.
That one pill is keeping him alive with the power of that
What would
pill?
You rather do? Spend happy hour at the bar eating and drinking delicious greasy food and beers
but
or
I think a lot of people
at the gym working out?
They go to the gym and they go to the bar.
Oh.
Balance.
Well, there is that, but that's not me, is it?
Moderation.
I just take a pill.
That's not you.
I'll bring a pill in tomorrow and you can take it and see if your blood pressure goes down.
Don't, because he'll take it. You know he's weird.
No, he
like
takes
that.
Any pill.
Yeah,
I'll take it. I don't care.
Except
see what happens.
You want a cholesterol pill, too? It's two for one. A free Lipitor to purchase
and
of
you want cholesterol pills, too?
Yeah. I have, too. My cholesterol
or else what happens?
My cholesterol was really high. Remember?
That causes heart attacks because it'll block your arteries.
I know, but with my pills, my cholesterol's fine.
No, it doesn't.
It is.
The plaque in your veins doesn't go away because you took a pill.
It's magic, Frank.
The pill clears out
No, remember I had that chart for years ago. We did a show at Morongo's.
You were pre-diabetic.
And yeah, well, that's sugar. It's something else. Anyway, and I went to have my exam, and the doctor said, you're off the charts. I can't even measure your cholesterol. It's so high. If we squeeze your veins, margarine's going to come out. Says, you got to get on this Lipitor. They gave me these pills. Okay, adjust the strength at the dose. And now my cholesterol is right within range where it should be.
All right, so here's basically when you want to compare this male birth control pill to what you take, the cholesterol pill and the high blood pressure pill.
Yes.
You take those two pills so you don't have to do any work to live. And yet, well, so, because you want to enjoy life. You like to go to restaurants and go to bars. So wouldn't you automatically, and guys would relate, take this birth control pill so we can do what we want when we want without having that possible burden of having a child someday. So that would be equally as important as every other pill we take, even if we're not getting laid.
Absolutely.
So we can go
just
to the bars.
In case.
So we can go do stuff and not have a child.
Yes, absolutely. There's just that one day now and then.
So you wouldn't forget the birth control pill.
Well, it's like I'll never forget my take it or die. But
he
I
has
still
forgotten.
Yeah, one day last week I forgot.
It's a live your life the way you want to pill. Don't call it a birth control pill. It's live your life the way you want to pill. That's your cholesterol pill. That's your high blood pressure pill. That's the birth control pill.
Remember the day I left early last week right after the show?
Mm-hmm.
I had to go home and take my pill. I forgot that morning. I forgot to take my pill.
Is that why you sweat so damn much? Because it's sometimes chilly in here and you're still
sometimes.
Sweating.
It's hot over here. The lights are on me.
Is that a side effect of the pills? Because you do sweat and it's 67 degrees in here.
It's not. See, Frank, it's 67 degrees where the thermostat is, which is behind a panel, which is where the air blows. Over here, it's 97 degrees.
It's not 97 degrees.
Bring a thermometer over where I stand.
I will bet you $1,000 it's
not
never 97 degrees
I'm not betting.
There.
I'm in self. Celsius. I meant centigrade. It's Kelvin on the Kelvin scale.
All right, I'll bet you that too.
Whatever
it's
it
not
is,
97 degrees Kelvin.
It's on some scale. It's
or
not
Celsius.
I'm just saying it's warmer here than over there.
No.
Look, when the thermostat's over there on the wall, right into where the cold wind blows. That's 20 feet away from where I am. I'm on the other side of the room where the hot lights are shining.
Let's get your chair put over there.
I should sit under the air vent like you do.
Yeah, it's pretty miserable.
Heidi's under the cold air, so it's freezing.
Do you want to sit where Heidi sits then?
No, this chair's all oozy. And that's her area.
And you could sit.
But that's her area. She's all moved in and she looks.
She used to stand right where you stand.
I don't know.
If you want to sit down under the nice cool breezes, then you can go over there.
It's up to Heidi because I don't want to make her move.
Do you want to move, Heidi?
No, it's fine.
We all got our area.
She has to move
now.
Over there for Dish Nation. I mean, that's where she stands for Dish when we shoot the television show.
I've seen her over here.
Yeah.
Is it ever 97 degrees over there?
No.
Never, right?
If you watch Dish Nation, you see my face is all made up with makeup. Look at my hands. They're purple. When I'm talking and my hands are next to my face, I look like two different human beings.
Yeah, so maybe it's a side effect of your pill. I don't know if it's that good for you. What are the side effects?
Oh, you know, you open
anal
the pills.
Leakage.
Look up Lipitor side effects.
She's sweating.
You open the pills and there's like 16 papers.
Have you ever
in
read
the
it?
Smallest print you can't even read.
You every single one. Like
give us the name of the pill. We'll look up the side effects. See what you got.
Lipitor. Actually, it's generic
Lipitor.
Lipitor. And that's for cholesterol. And then blood pressure is called Atacand. Atacand. Atacand.
Wow. That would scare me if
Let's
I had to take
those. Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Calling about the male birth control pill.
Yeah. So my thing was, what's the things that the guys are forgetting that's so important? I mean, in comparison, it doesn't seem to be equal, you know. Being that I'm 27 right now, it seems and single that women are kind of first on my mind when I go out anyways, and especially getting laid. So why would I, if I'm thinking about it all the time, why would I forget that?
Good point, Alex. If he's thinking about if the destination is getting laid when you go out on a weekend, why wouldn't you take your pill? You're going to take condoms with you. You take your pill.
I mean, right.
Alex and you, Frank, are probably the guys who would never miss it. But again, in this study, they said 30% of people say guys probably short-term memory, getting distracted. 30% say, I don't trust
I'm offended by this, saying guys are so irresponsible, we just forget.
It just takes once. Just takes once.
One time.
Do you ever drive off with your door to your gas flap thing still open? You're driving down the freeway.
No.
And you're
no.
But if you could get a girl pregnant, if you did that, maybe you would
never
go.
Bone that guy, ladies, because he forgot his pill. Alex, I'm gonna give you a prize.
Did someone turn the AC on? Because there's a big blast of cold air that just hit me.
No, it's been the same way.
No, it just now came on.
That's a side effect of having cold chills.
Hot flash, cold chills. Yes, you're going through
it's
menopause.
It's a ghost.
Yeah, you're going through menopause.
It's a poltergeist going through me.
Yeah, you're having hot flashes. You're like an old lady.
Maybe I am.
All right, what are the side effects of Frosty's? Which one's this? Lipitor?
This is Lipitor.
It's for cholesterol.
Constipation, diarrhea, nausea.
Wait, hold on. Jesus Christ.
There's a lot.
I know, but constipation.
Okay.
Sometimes, but who doesn't
How
have
How can you have constipation and diarrhea?
It's a tie. That means you walk around normal. You feel both. And you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
It's the
you
way
got the
I,
diarrhea cramps, but you can't poop.
I feel that way sometimes.
Oh, my God. All right. That's number three.
Nausea.
Well, have you heard this show?
Fatigue.
I am tired, for sure.
Ugh, gas.
Frosty. Nah, I'm not gaseous.
Really gassy? You look like you would be.
I know, I'm not.
Headaches?
No.
Do you have confusion or memory problems?
Oh, yeah.
Well, at my age.
Right.
Muscle wasting and muscle breakdown.
Yes, definitely.
Ew, dark urine.
Dark urine?
No.
Okay.
Increased hunger.
Frosty.
Yep. Starving all the time.
You shouldn't be on this if it increases hunger.
Frank, it's either this or die.
And stop taking it immediately if you have these serious side effects. Confusion, memory problems, swelling, or weight gain.
Oh, dear God.
Mm. What was the first one? I forget.
And then your other medication.
This is for blood pressure. Blood pressure. Atacand.
You can have a cough. Or pain in many different areas, including your stomach, your joints, your back, and more diarrhea.
You have to have diarrhea, dude.
If both have diarrhea.
You'd think I would after all that, but I weirdly don't.
Huh.
Feeling like you might pass out?
Well, who doesn't?
He has passed out.
You have chest pain?
Tingly feelings.
Who doesn't have a tingly feeling?
Oh, no.
Right now, all of you, aren't you tingling somewhere on your body?
What about swelling in your hands or feet?
How about whole body? from head to foot.
I got the edema.
Swelling head to toe.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay, well, fine. Yeah, the most
no,
of the...
There's
yes.
no sweating, huh?
See?
No, I don't see any sweating.
Hot flash? No.
You know what the sweating's caused by? Being 97 degrees on the sun.
It's not. That's not really.
That causes the sweating.
Are you on anything else that you're not telling us about?
No, that's pretty much it. The vitamin. I'm taking the vitamin you say is worthless.
Maybe that's it.
It's a sweat vitamin. It's a sweat of it.
Are you taking water pills so you can like lose water weight and actually and so you can lie to your own diet
with
how much weight you lost every day?
No, but I did find myself in the aisle of Walgreens a couple days ago looking at those pills you take that's like
Diurex.
No, it, people want to work out and speed up your metabolism.
Oh, you don't need that.
No, I didn't. I looked at
that
those.
That's true with your heart.
Really?
Yeah. Like the hydroxy cuts.
You can't
all that.
Take a high blood pressure medication, then take hydroxy.
It was hydroxy cuts
no,
I looked at.
No, dude. Don't.
Really?
Don't do that. Okay, no.
It says to lose weight.
Tony, a male, takes pills every day for epilepsy and never forgets to take it, obviously.
Well, right.
Guys will not forget to take the pill. Cody, another guy checking in saying yes. You could trust men, I think, more in general than women.
I'd like to believe that you would believe that. But sometimes when you're drunk, you forget stuff. Did you take your pill? I hope so, but I want her so bad.
You're right.
You know, you start thinking with the wrong...
And then
what's the old joke? Make beer birth control? Put the birth control inside beer?
Oh.
Then, ooh!
Then just mix it in, then change the taste of beer at all? Every
Why
beer you
not?
Drink?
They oughta.
Well protected.
There you go.
No babies.
Lisa May?
What?
Would you trust men to take the pill?
Look, if I'm the one that can have the baby, I cannot trust them to make sure that that doesn't happen.
I'm stuck for the rest of my life. I got it.
No, I'm stuck the rest of my life. You just happen to have some stretch marks.
Well, you might. No,
or maybe you don't make enough money to be stuck the rest of your life. But either way, I'm the one. Well,
why are you
just
sex
not
such a loser?
You. And by the way, if you're an NBA player, NFL player, I really don't trust you.
That should be in the Gatorade.
Yeah. Man, what's with those guys?
KLOS traffic.
That's traffic on 95.5 KLOS. All right, we're going to give away some tickets now to the Lucas Oil NHRA Winter Nationals. Have a four-pack for you. It's Auto Club Raceway in Pomona on February 8th through the 11th. Tickets are on sale at nhra.com/tickets. We'll take caller 20 at 800-955-KLOS. Tickets furnished by the NHRA. And now it's time for News of the Day with Lisa May. Our 5K band of the day is Jimi Hendrix. You want to listen for them today in the 9, noon, 4, and 5 o'clock hours for your shot at $5,000. That's coming up tomorrow. News of the day brought to you by First 5 California. Stone Temple Pilots are coming out with a new album in March with their new singer, Jeff Gutt. The new single, Roll Me Under, was just released, and we've got a clip for you. Great. This is kind of good news. If you have a misdemeanor marijuana conviction on your record, it could be dismissed. Once recreational marijuana was made legal here in California, it meant that misdemeanor convictions for pot possession dating back 40 years could be dismissed. When the law was passed, it included a provision that allows people with prior low-level offenses to petition for expungement. Now, that can be expensive. It means you have to hire a lawyer. But two cities say they're just going to do it. You don't have to hire a lawyer. That's San Francisco and San Diego. Don't have to do anything. They're just going to do it automatically for you. In House of Card News, Diane Lane and Greg Kinnear have joined the cast for the show's sixth and final season. As you know, the writers had to rewrite the 8 episodes for this final season after Kevin Spacey was dismissed over sexual misconduct allegations. They are starting to film the 6th season today. Now, we don't know really anything about the new characters except that they play siblings, but they are good actors, so I'm excited about that. Colin Kaepernick is a man of his word. Yesterday, he announced he's completed his pledge to donate $1 million to communities in need. To wrap up his pledge, he asked a number of high-profile athletes and artists to donate $10,000 to a charity of their choice, which he then matched dollar for dollar. He called it the 10 for 10 challenge. Usher, Jesse Williams, Nick Cannon, and Steph Curry are some of the stars who joined Kaepernick for the 10 for 10 challenge. Rocking and patting your baby while singing a song is not only soothing, but it exposes your little one to math through rhythmic patterns. More at first5california.com. It's 6:54. That's News of the Day with Lisa May. Up next, more Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
They put out the most common drunk things people do at bars. I guess you can check these off the list if you've ever done them before.
Oh, all right. Okay.
All right. Play along at home. So we're talking about stupid drunks. spilling or breaking a glass.
Oh, please.
Have you ever done that in
a
bar?
Yes.
Spill, yes.
Always knock it over with your hand. You feel so stupid.
I broke some glasses once.
Uh-huh.
How did you do that?
I was making a shot tower.
Oh, okay.
And it started leaning. It got so high. It was about 2 feet high of the shot glasses. And I was like, yeah. And then it crashed, and I got kicked out.
Leaning Tower Patron.
I was obsessed with the movie Cocktail when I was a kid. And so how he was flipping stuff. And
Tom Cruise, Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, you know, and so I was obsessed, and so I practiced. And I'm a pretty good flipper to this day. Like, I can flip.
Real, I don't believe that.
I really am. But the problem I did in the bar, and I'm...
We got a bottle over here. Let her flip one.
But the problem in the bar is I did an empty pint glass, because I was like, oh, yeah, because I was flipping other things, and then did an empty pint glass. I don't want to be responsible.
You got to do it in the parking lot.
I don't want to be responsible for it. But the pint glass that's, you know, weighted so it doesn't flip.
Oh, it went too far because it's lighter.
Well, it's lighter on one end, so it doesn't flip like a regular bottle of water.
Oh, yeah, blame the glass.
It went everywhere.
Well, I get her. She's flipping heavy things, and then suddenly a lighter one-ended glass.
That's the whole cocktail thing.
He's got a
glass, and he's flipping them around, and he pours it in the glass.
Yeah.
He's got a couple bottles. It's a whole juggly thing.
It's a skill she did not have.
But, yeah.
Did she get kicked out?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That was instantaneous. Get her out of here. Yeah.
You remember the bar? You've been there, Frank, so you're like, where I used to play darts, little English, British pub.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the round table at the darts area?
I don't remember much. When I've been to those bars, I don't remember much.
There's this big round community table where all the darters put their kegs of beer and their glasses. And their it's probably about 4 feet across by 4 feet. It's full of like 15 beers at any time. I flipped that entire table over. Stupidly, I leaned on it with my elbows and pushed down.
Oh,
and
no.
There was so much weight already on that side of the table with like four or five kegs or pitchers of beer and 10 or 12 beers that the weight flipped it completely over onto me, onto the floor.
How drunk were you?
Oh, come on.
Kind of drunk.
Well, you weren't leaning on it. You fell into it.
No, it was just, I leaned on it.
Into the table.
I just leaned on it.
Fag guy.
Put the whole table over.
Table.
That's awesome. So you got kicked out?
That's a good
one. How can you even go back there when you flip a whole table on yourself?
It was embarrassing because I had to buy all those drinks and the bar owner was mad.
Yeah.
Well,
It's
almost where you have to stop going there. And I mean, have you ever had to switch bars because you just embarrassed yourself so much? 1-800-955-5567. All right. So we're all one for one on that.
Uh-huh.
Lisa May? No, she's not in here.
No.
Sammy, you ever been kicked out of a bar for spilling or breaking a glass?
Yes. Purposely. I threw my drink on somebody and I got kicked out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like all Hollywood drama, right in their face.
I slapped her in the face first.
Oh, it was a girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was good.
What was the deal? Why'd you slap her in the face?
Well, we were previously friends and then I found out she was dating my ex. It was a whole
But if he was an ex, who cares?
I cared. We had been broken up for like 2 weeks and I found out and I was so mad because I'd been hanging out with this girl and she was with him the whole time and I didn't know.
Oh, there was a little overlap.
Oh,
Sammy's a victim. She slapped her and then threw the drink at her.
Right.
Or
so I slapped her and then she tried to slap me. So, but then I grabbed her hand so she couldn't, and then I threw my drink on her, which was in my other hand.
And hopefully it was like a strawberry daiquiri, so it had like stains.
Oh yeah, we were in Mexico. It was something like that.
Did it land in her face or on her front?
Oh, it was her face all over her shirt.
Was that the night you went to jail in Mexico?
No. Oh, different.
Same trip.
No, not even the same trip. No.
Oh, my God.
Sammy went to jail in Mexico?
What the heck?
There's a book.
That's another story, though.
She's going to kill this list, I'm sure.
Lisa May, you ever got kicked out of a bar for breaking glass?
No.
No?
You know me.
She's a proper lady.
Never kicked out of a bar.
She's
never.
A journalist.
I was a... helped out of a bathroom after way too many Long Island iced teas and after I'd been laying on the floor by the toilet for a couple of hours.
A couple of hours. We got to get her out of here.
In the bar. Ooh. You were laying on the floor of the bathroom?
I mean, I couldn't leave the toilet.
Oh, my God.
And I had a friend standing outside, a guy who would, like, say, could you check on my friend inside? She won't come out.
2 hours. Ugh. Yuck.
In a blue silk dress. I'll never forget.
Oh, another stain on a blue dress. I mean, my God.
We got to make that one of Lisa's bucket list things to do before she passes away. Not that you're sick. Just meaning, have to get kicked out of a bar before you die.
Okay. I'll work on that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good goal. Good death goal.
Well, no, I just saw where an 80-year-old guy was picked up for robbing a bank. And I was like, this guy's living my fantasy life.
Because
when I'm old and a senior citizen, I want to rob a bank. Just do it one time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing it.
Bucket list.
So, yeah, for, you know, the stuff that you really wouldn't normally do in your life when you get to a certain age. Not that you're at a certain age, Lisa. I'm just saying. Or you're not dying.
Well, we round up. And then,
put that on the bucket list. Yeah. We all should go, and Lisa's job is to get us all kicked out of the bar. But Lisa got us all kicked out. No one else. Okay?
Fine.
Maybe we'll do that this weekend. We go to Bellator.
Deal.
Good time.
That'll be awesome.
Deal.
Get her out of here.
It'll be a good Instagram story.
That's the old, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You guys got to get her out of here.
All right, quickly. Number two on the most common drunk things people do at bars. We've all scored one, except for Lisa. Someone falling over because they were too drunk. Fell over. I guess that's your story, too. You broke glass and you fell over.
Oh, that's both, yes. But you, too, remember back in Denver?
I'm a big faller.
Remember the Denver bar?
Don't skip ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I know where you're going. Okay, I know it's on the list of things people do in bars. Don't skip ahead. So, Heidi fell down a bar.
Mm-hmm. Really? Fell down at a bar. Thought I broke my
Were you dancing on the bar like Coyote Ugly?
I was dancing. I wasn't on the bar, but I was dancing. Thought I looked real cute. I didn't.
So the dance floor had a step down to it. You didn't realize.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost excusable because you're dancing and drunk.
But I was the only one. You know what I mean? It wasn't a dance floor.
You were the only one dancing?
Yeah, there wasn't a dance floor. It was like a bar, like a college bar. There was no dance floor. Ugh. And I had Daisy Duke jean shorts on. I went through a real.
You had a lot of Daisy Dukes.
When I go through phases, that's all I wear. Then I go on to the next thing. I never mix it up. So I had Daisy Dukes on with like Roper cowboy boots, like those.
Roper?
No. They're cowboy boots, but they're like lace-up cowboy boots, like old school, whatever.
I never thought it
was so cute. And I had a the bandana tops back in the day? A regular bandana.
Like a tube top, but it was a bandana.
But it was a bandana, so the point in that point to the belly button, and then you tie it in the back. I mean, I remember what I had on when I fell.
Can you imagine being able to fit in that again?
Oh.
You're like a trashy Hooters.
I'm just saying. You were tiny to be able to have a bandana hide your breast.
I was probably 50 pounds lighter than I am
now. Do you have photos of that version?
Yeah, I'll try to find that. I'll try to find that outfit.
You were a third grader lighter.
Yeah.
Now I know what to go as for Halloween.
I was about 20.
No, you go with Heidi now, dressing as if she was 20. You put on the bandana.
I'm gonna have to call my mother-in-law and have her do a sewing project. We're gonna need a couple more bandanas.
Yeah, that is an old tablecloth now. The bandana tablecloth. It could actually probably fit.
Wait, call Pizza Hut. They got those still.
The third grade analogy. Doesn't quite work because you picture him sewn on the middle of you. It's like if you melt the third grader and dunk yourself in several times and have an even coating all over your body,
That's
more accurate.
Yeah.
Because I'm like wearing a couple 12-year-olds, but they're not all strapped on my midsection.
I hope
I'm
not
like, anymore.
It's like if you melt them and dip me in them, that's me.
Ever since the court hearing.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mark. Mark was kicked out of a bar. Hello, Mark.
Hey, we drank all the Tanqueray gin they had in this bar. We had double Tanqueray martinis, and we broke a pool stick. Then we broke the whole end of the pool table off.
Oh.
And then they kicked us out.
Yeah, that
broke the slate pool table.
Yep.
That's expensive.
Yeah, that's got to be like a lot of force.
The top 1,000 stupid things are always when you're drunk, huh?
On martinis, even.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're drinking a martini, isn't that like a...
We were drinking double tangerines.
Yeah, I mean, isn't a martini like a gentleman's drink?
Yeah, like you're a classy...
Must have been a girl's night out.
Like wasted on martinis.
Ooh, make it dirty. I want extra dirty.
I broke that pool stick off my boyfriend.
Oh, did you chalk it up first? Hope so.
I'm going to suck on my olive.
Sank his balls, too.
Oh, my God. That was slop,
We're
though. He didn't call
pool
it.
Tables, you freaks.
It was slop, though. He didn't call it.
It was slop. Yeah, it was. drunken arguments is the third most witnessed thing. Also, 72% of bartenders have witnessed a drunken argument. Check.
No, I haven't done that.
Even, oh, come on.
I don't think so.
Maybe you were blacked out. You black out and argue, probably.
I'm non-confrontational when I'm sober and aware, but the second I get drunk and pass out.
Don't you have that mean liquor that you stay away from? He's like, oh, that makes Heidi mean.
Tequila, I'm guessing. You
well,
tequila?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's changed. My body chemistry has changed. It doesn't do that to me anymore. But it used to make me very... I would have like a margarita and then go, and you know what? No. I actually do want to bring this up because you know, always, and I'm like, and my friends used to be like, oh, let's not do margaritas. But it doesn't do that to me anymore. Like I just kind of chill.
You're different.
I don't know.
And you like Brussels sprouts.
But I will
now.
Say this, like, but I will. Let's not get ridiculous. But vodka. As soon as I take a shot of vodka, my nose gets bright red like Rudolph. I don't know what that's about. Every other liquor, it doesn't, but for whatever reason, and I can feel it.
It's like, about your future.
I'll look at somebody, I'm like, my face feels really hot. Is it hot? And they're like, you're really red. Because my friends will make, like, mixers and be like, oh, I made this great, like, vodka thing. Try it. And I'm like, oh, I don't really do vodka. But then I do it. And then my face gets red. So that liquor, I can't.
So really, booze doesn't light the anger gene in you anymore? Because that's usually where a lot of people get in, you know, bar fights, because you had too many or you had the wrong kind of liquor.
Yeah. But you're a happy, fun drunk, Frank.
I'm loving.
But you've gotten fights?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, fights is getting into a brawl.
Oh, brawl, yeah.
But when you started or when you helped?
Getting into a physical fight. 61% of bartenders have watched a physical fight break out at a bar. That seems kind of low. It seems like fights always breaking out. But, yeah, we were in a bar and playing pool. And this guy was kind of two guys coming up and kind of just being too close to one of the girls that was in our group. And she's giving you that look like, please help me.
Right.
And they were being a little bit way too close. Like, hey, can I help you guys out with anything? Next thing you know, everybody's throwing blows. You know, right there in the pool room. We all got kicked out. And they all got kicked out.
Yeah.
That's a funny story, too. I don't want to tell it on the air. I'll get arrested. 1-800-95-5567.
Yeah, I know the story.
Well, that's the biggest cliffhanger ever.
You can't.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably dead now. I mean, there's things that happen. I don't know.
No, that'll help.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, dip. Don't say anymore.
He didn't wake up from his slumber. Mm. I killed that guy.
And this wasn't even, as I recall, it wasn't even your fight. It was just you helping. You got your buddy's
No,
back.
It was mine.
Oh, was it yours?
Because you said, can I help you fellas with something?
Can I help you fellas with something? And I didn't start the brawl itself. My buddy over my right shoulder reaches over and clocks the guy. I was like, oh, great.
Oh.
Now we're in a fight.
I guess diplomacy's out of the question. Now it's on.
I've been with friends, you know, I used to play darts with a, you know, rough blue-collar crowd, and they're getting fights almost every Friday night at darts. But I excuse myself from those fights. I don't have your back.
Gotta go powder
just because I'm
nose.
One of the gang. Sorry, if you're dumb enough to get in a bar fight, I'm not part of it.
Well, then you're not part of their dart group, then.
I'm not part of the fighting group. Do you want me to be fine?
You could get in between and act like you're holding guys back. That's all they really want.
Yeah.
Is someone to go, hey.
It'd
take a while to get around you.
Yeah.
I'd be a good slapper. I think I could slap you into next Tuesday.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Has anybody ever been in a slappy bar fight?
Rob got kicked out of a bar. Hello, Rob.
Hey, good morning, Prophet Guy and Frank. Yeah, well, I was stationed out in Japan, and my buddy and I, we just came off deployment, putting warheads on foreheads, and... yeah, we're in our local spot. We always go, and just so happened that the Australians were in port as well, and they seemed to have gotten into a twist because they wanted to play each other. My friend was running the pool table, and I'm running the dartboard. So, anyways, they're getting into a twist, and the corner of my eye, I see this Australian start turning the pool cue upside down, and I'm like, oh, that's not good.
No, that's how they play in Australia, because everything is upside down
there, say. They play with the big fat end.
Yeah, it's not good. So, anyway, my friend Daryl is a corn-fed white guy from Arkansas and has that hillbilly-type strength. So, anyways, before I could even turn around, this guy cracks my friend Daryl over the neck with the fat end of a pool cue.
and it breaks. It shatters. And I'm expecting my friend Daryl to go down. Well, Daryl, like swatting a fly, turns around, grabs the guy by the lapels, and socks his face
in.
I mean, he's socking smooth out. The guy hits the floor like a sack of potatoes. So I hit the Australian guy that I'm shooting darts with, and then it's just all around brawl, 5-on-2. And, you know, this is our local bar, but the bar owner has had a couple altercations with the Australians before.
So you guys end up getting your asses kicked, or did you clean house and you mopped up with those Australians?
We pretty much mopped the floor, because the guy that Daryl knocked
down. An American.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know
my... All right, I'm going to give you a prize for whipping that off the ass.
I'm going to be in Mexico. Would you be able to give that to the next military veteran?
Yes, I can, Rob.
All right.
Thank you so much.
See, again, I wouldn't be any use in the fight. If it's a piano, though, I'll go over the piano. I'll be like...
Smash glass.
That'd be awesome.
Frosty, I think we need the fight music. I'm going to go over to the piano.
Fight now.
Right. Everybody grab something, and we don't start until the first note we hear. Okay.
Everybody hold your punches. All right.
Every fight's been a little bit.
There's a role for everybody.
Yeah, speaking of a brawl real quick before we get back to the drunk test, a 20-person brawl breaks out at a restaurant over a missing phone, which was lost in the lost and found. So it was not... missing. Like, you stole my phone. No, I didn't steal your phone. I don't know where it is.
You know when you
it's
see
a
that...
whole big 20-person brawl.
Well, when you see that kind of stuff, but even in a movie, like, you know when
Florida
you're...
Florida or anywhere else?
Florida.
Anywhere else.
It was...
I'm going to say it's out of
this
country.
So Florida. 20 people
no,
fighting.
California.
Oh,
what is up?
California.
Chaining people to beds. We're having brawls over cell phones.
It's
Come
happening.
On, California.
But every time I see something like that in a movie, I think, at some point in all the chaos, like, how do you know who's with you? You know, when you play a game of basketball, you're like, shirts and skins.
You
I know
if you don't
to.
Recognize them, you punch them in the face.
Well, that's everybody then.
What if it's a friend?
What
if it's a friend?
Everybody so, be you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry, man.
I'm just in town for the weekend. I know her.
Yeah, so I came with Bill.
I get the one person fighting the other person, but the other 18 weren't involved at all.
I think that's a case of, I want to get in there, too.
No, see, like, if one person fights another person, and then that somebody else jumps in for them to help that person, they're like, no, this is beyond one-on-one now. Now it's 2-on-2. Now 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 20.
It's too much. I can't focus on that, man. I'm like, okay, can we do groups at least?
So then
three groups of three. At
so can we tap outside. In? Can we tap in instead?
So there's not sides, just everyone fighting everyone, really. There's no sides, really.
Right.
No.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there's sides, yes.
But just the original two people.
There's the side that lost the phone and the side that's being accused of stealing the phone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but person 15 through 20, do they even know what the fight's about?
Doesn't matter. If I turned around and I saw these guys fighting over here, I'm jumping in. I'll find out later.
Okay. But who do you... You start just randomly throwing it... Because you don't
anyone
know
I don't recognize.
Or I think at some point, maybe you're just standing around, and then you get hit. And so now you're going to just start fighting the guy that just hit you. And now you're... And then somebody else is like, don't hit her! And now I got another person helping me.
Most of the time, a big brawl like that breaks out because somebody's a coward pussy, and somebody's... Well, their friend's... kicking somebody's ass, and they jump in there and start kicking.
Mm.
Wasn't even their fight, but it's like, yeah, I was in there too. Uh-huh. It's like, shut up.
Go play piano.
All right, back to the drunk test. What bartenders have seen drunk people do. If what's your thing when you get drunk? I mean, that your friends can expect of you when you go out. It's like, okay, I know we're going to lose you probably at some point, so let's write our phone number on your hand. So when someone does find you, they can call us and let us know where you are. Is that your thing? What is your weird drunk thing? Weirdest drunk habit is going to win a prize. 1-800-955-KLOS is the number. So we've covered spilling and breaking a glass.
Mm-hmm.
Someone falling over because they were so drunk. Drunk argument. Getting into a physical fight.
No.
How about puking somewhere in the bar?
Now here's where Frank has a story, I'm sure. Because I have a story. I know this story. It's
yeah,
a great
you were there.
Yes.
Mm. You can tell it.
It was in Denver, Colorado years ago. We were at a cool sports bar right at the bar.
The Tivoli,
right
is
there.
Still even in existence?
No, bar's long gone.
Closed.
Long gone. Good college bar right on campus.
You ruined it. They were like, yeah, we sold it the time after the guy got puked.
Seriously, went downhill after that. Anyway, we're at the bar, and this is like a packed bar, happy hour slash early evening on a Friday.
It was like a horseshoe-shaped bar, too.
Yeah, so everyone could see all the way around. We're sitting right at the...
Like a Hard Rock Cafe type of thing?
Something like that.
Okay, nice.
And this is like my main hangout.
Yeah.
This is like two blocks from where I live, so I was always there. It was my bar. Frank was there with me drinking, and I don't know what we're doing, shot. And my buddy was the bartender. We're doing too many shots, and suddenly Frank decided his innards needed to come back up, and there we are in front of the entire bar. I don't exactly know.
No one even knew. Don't even act like people knew.
Frank did
there
underneath.
Was stealth.
It was underneath the bars where he...
Just bent down.
I was sitting in the bar stool.
Got it.
And I just pushed out... Pushed out the stool a little bit, and then I just
under
and
the
then
bar.
I pulled my stool back in, was like, all right, and started drinking my beer again. But I just barfed right there.
To you, I mean, it was absolutely nothing.
This wasn't a classy place. It had sawdust on the floor. That's why it's there.
Yeah.
That's why it's there.
Why else would it not be there? I saw janitors put sawdust on puke in elementary school.
That's
so
right.
You put sawdust on the floor of a bar. I'm not even going to the bathroom to barf.
It's there for ambience and to give it like a decoration. It's not for vomit.
But
in that case,
help.
It's good thing it was there.
Mm-hmm.
But the weird thing about Frank is he thought it was nobody. He kept drinking.
Yep. Sure.
The rest of us are like, okay.
Now, I've known you a long time. Drank with you a lot. I don't ever recall you vomiting in the last 20 years, anyway.
I probably haven't vomited in 20 years.
Really? This was a mess. This is like tidal wave.
But I mean, you know, like when you're younger.
It was so much beer and just, yeah, probably chugging a lot, like chugging contest or whatever it was.
Then up came the jalapeno poppers. I mean, what are you going to do?
It's just right there. Yeah. Make some room.
Yeah, it was all beerish.
It was a thick belch.
Because I wouldn't be able to do that, because once that happens, it's like, and now I'm all clammy and tired, and I'm like, I couldn't sit back up and just like, all right, another round.
No, it's kind of like when you go to the bathroom in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner. For me, it was like, all right.
I just made
it. Let's keep drinking. Like, let's keep eating.
Oh, my God.
See, I would be embarrassed. I would leave. I'm the guy who just puked in front of everyone in the bar.
I gotta go. Mm-hmm. Oh, I would go before.
I'd be like, hey, the party started.
Yeah.
Call me Pink.
All right, let's... Can we call you Pink from now on?
I would love to call
really
you
wants
Pink.
To do? Call you Pink. Hello, Ron.
Ron.
Yes, hello.
Why were you kicked
first
out of the bar?
A long time listener. Well, me and my buddy were pre-gaming one night and decided to go down to our local bar. That was only maybe two blocks away and, went in and went outside and started to black out a little bit. And we were smoking a cigarette out on the patio, and one thing led to another. We were looking at the cigarette ashtrays and noticed they kind of looked like ski shooting. So we wound up grabbing the ashtrays and proceeded to throw them as hard as we could at the wall until they exploded.
Uh-oh. Oh,
my God.
Not permissible.
And then, of course, one of them happens to go ahead and hit one of the security cameras and knock that down off the
yeah,
wall.
Yeah, because you weren't aiming at the security cameras with these ashtrays.
No, of course not.
We're not the police,
but,
Ron.
I wound up knowing the bartender, and the next day he wound up calling me and saying, hey, I got you on camera, blowing up all of our cigarette ashtrays and our camera. You know, you got to come down here and make amends with the owner. So I wound up going down there and paying for the damages.
And that's when Ron,
for the stack of ashtrays.
And that's when Ron discovered Color Me Mine, and he made them. ashtrays.
Thanks so much, Ron. Let's see, Carlos. Hello, Carlos.
Hello. How you guys doing? Good morning.
Okay, you're calling about what we can expect from Carlos when he gets drunk.
Yeah, I will. I'll fall asleep. I'll disappear. They'll find me in a corner somewhere, just curled up, asleep.
Yes, passing
time.
Out in the bar is number six on this list of things that bartenders have witnessed. 48% of bartenders have watched someone just fall asleep at the bar.
Good job, Carlos.
Like Carlos.
Yeah, that's me.
Carlos,
that's me.
And me, like, thanks, there's this wall you hit, and it hits you without warning. You would think you would know, okay, I got to slow down, I'm getting sleepy. No, it's just all of a sudden, here comes the sleepy curtain, and you're out of it. You might still be talking a little bit. I mean, you still, people think you're awake, but you're not.
I'll be at the bar, but you get me in the car, like if I'm an Uber or whatever, I am out.
That is true.
I'm like that baby that wakes up in the middle of the night, you got to go take it for a ride around the block, and it'll fall asleep. As soon as I get in that car, I'm like...
That rumble of that engine.
They got to wake me up and be like, oh, thanks, man.
How about when the two of you can't remember exactly, like, you gotta
how you
drive.
Got home?
Well, there's the time that they took Frosty home. He didn't know gate code. He's passed out. How's a guy supposed to get him in his home?
And it was too heavy to lift. I was
too heavy to lift. The guy's like, I don't know how to get him. Like, you can't wake
leaned you up against the gate.
Prop me up. By
the the sprinklers wake me up at night.
Back now to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on the Rock of Southern California.
95.5 KLOS.
So this new report shows gonorrhea is spreading.
Gonorrhea?
Gonorrhea. You know what gonorrhea is? STD.
Yeah, I know. It's like one of those diseases people don't get much anymore. Yeah. I thought that was...
Remember super gonorrhea came out, where it's like how they used to treat gonorrhea.
I thought it had gone away. Isn't that a disease from the 60s and 70s?
No, they had a way to fix it. I mean, it wasn't curable, then they had a way to cure it, and now how they used to cure it, there's a new gonorrhea bug that doesn't even respond to the old drug that used to cure gonorrhea. So now,
great.
I got nothing for it.
This new report shows gonorrhea is spreading thanks to oral sex. Ooh. So to all you married guys, oral sex is, how do I put it? Say what? So,
but if you have one foot out the door, I bet you'll get to familiar with those. I mean, probably every day.
I'm wondering what gonorrhea is. People say it's kind of gross, but it's really good on toast.
No, that's diarrhea.
Oh, sorry.
Diarrhea. Okay. You're mixing up your kids' songs.
And I don't think you can get that from...
oral, though?
I didn't even know that was possible.
So people are getting, what, mouth gonorrhea?
I had read somewhere sitting in a dentist's office reading
a pamphlet. I've smelled that before, I think.
Heidi?
No, you know when people are talking to you and they're like, yeah, hey, what's going on? You're like, oh, what is that? Maybe that's mouth gonorrhea. Breath where you're like, what in the hell?
I'm sure in the circles that you run in, I'm sure somebody has mouth gonorrhea.
How dare you?
Well, I mean, look at your entire existence is oral.
Do you ever talk to someone after eating a tuna fish sandwich? The breath is, you know. Now I had some rotten gum disease in there. And the rotten gum disease, or you ever bite your lip or bite your cheek when you're chewing, there's blood there.
This is like a tuna fish sandwich with an extra dollop of brown mustard. Like too much.
It's great before.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was possible.
But isn't that how oral sex transmits disease? Because you could have blood. You know, you brush your teeth and spit blood out.
No.
Me either. Or did you...
you brush your teeth? Maybe if you haven't flossed in a while, you're like, oh my God.
Well, that's me.
I probably should do this more often. Look, I'm bleeding. But you could brush your teeth and bleed?
Sometimes.
Maybe brushing too hard.
Or if you've bitten your cheek and there's a little piece of blood, you get blood exposed and that's where the disease gets in.
Yeah. Oh.
Anybody had gonorrhea? Raise your hand in the room.
Well, who's going to do that?
Yeah, that's a tough one. Why
not? I mean, it's spreading and it's...
I mean, we could assume Sammy, but we don't have to look at Sammy.
How does it present? Like, what would you even look for? I honestly don't know. Because I think chlamydia is quiet,
I think it's
silent.
Leakage? I think there's a leak
from,
the area.
Like a burning?
I think it burns when you urinate.
So for a girl, we're just like, do I have a urinary tract infection? Oh, no, you have gonorrhea.
Syphilis.
No, look it up.
Syphilis was the Bernies.
They're sisters, gonorrhea and syphilis. They're a little bit different. But you confuse them.
They're blister sisters.
I don't think there's blisters.
There's got to be some telltale. Like
herpes is a blister thing. I don't think gonorrhea has it. Well, Eric, you got the symptoms. I mean, you have them up on your computer. What are they?
For men, you would have a greater frequency or urgency in urination.
Okay. Well, that comes with
prostate problems.
Prostate enlargement and age. That's normal.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to be clear here. A pus-like discharge from
the area.
The area, mm-hmm. directly from
how
the
much?
Area.
Does it matter, Frank?
And that's men.
Any
right?
is bad.
They call it.
I'm sure dribble dots when you take off your underwear. You got some. You should have taken a few more shakes, but you didn't.
Frank, dribble dots was just my nickname in college. Way past that era.
And a horrible ice cream.
They call it a drip. To be more specific, it is a drip. Swelling or redness at the area.
Swelling or redness.
Put a microphone in Frosty's underwear.
You guys would like the swelling, though. You're like, yeah, that's the one good thing about gonorrhea. Look how fat, swollen.
Good news, bad news. Huh?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Now we got girthy.
Now we're confident enough to use it, and we have gonorrhea. No wonder it's spreading.
swelling or pain in the little friends down there.
Oh. Isn't this pretty much all sexual diseases? You get all these same symptoms?
That does sound bad.
And a persistent sore throat.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
Is that when you have oral gonorrhea? Is there oral gonorrhea?
We said there was.
But I mean, it's being spread through oral, but does it live in your mouth, or does it, if it's spread through oral, your mouth is giving it to me? Like your mouth is a carrier.
Like strep, but it's gonorrhea? Oh, my God. I did not know such a thing existed.
So symptoms in women, want to hear those. They're fun.
I don't know. I don't want to hear those. I just want to picture that to be a pretty place, like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. I never want to think of it as a bad place. 1-800-955-5567. Oh, Allison had gonorrhea in her throat.
Allison!
I so want to ask her for her number, but I'm torn.
Don't worry. It's never going to affect you.
Allison, how'd it get in there?
Hello, Allison.
Hey, guys. So I will admit I was hooking up with this guy at the time who wasn't really known to be the cleanest dude ever, but he was, like, really hot, so I was, like, kind of over it. And then I got this horrible, horrible throat infection. I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, yeah, that looks like gonorrhea, or it can be strep, so we're just going to give you this pill, and it will take care of both.
How do we ask this delicately? Had you only kissed... No, I'm trying to, there's ways, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm assuming you had...
No.
Okay.
Way beyond kissing.
But he didn't confirm it. He just said, this pill cures both, so whether it's gonorrhea or...
You know what, I think maybe the doctor was hitting on you.
Oh, Frank.
Hold on.
It could be strep.
It was a bad infection.
Could be gonorrhea, you tell me.
It's probably gonorrhea.
Oh, my God.
It looked bad. It looked really
bad.
Is
it easily healed? Couple pills and it's gone?
Did your breath reek?
No, but it looked like someone took a white paintbrush and, like, spackled the back of my throat. Like, it was...
You have a way with words.
Thank you.
Allison, I'm going to give you a prize.
Wardsmith at Allison.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're so helpful.
With all the terrible diseases out there, some that can make you, you know, medication for life or even kill you, if you get some bad sexually transmitted disease and they tell you it's gonorrhea, and they're like, thank God it's only gonorrhea.
In 2017, that's not that big a deal, I guess.
She said this guy was good looking, but he was kind of a dirty guy.
I don't get that.
Known to be kind of a dirty guy. Is that because if you looked at me, you'd say dirty guy?
Yes.
Is it because I'm hairy? So you associate hair with dirt?
Yeah, hairy. But she said smell.
He's dirty. So hairy, still attracted to him.
Yeah, but I mean, dirty could necessarily not mean hairy. It could be, look at his fingernails. Like, you just can tell greasy hair, clothes that don't look like they've been changed.
Took it as meaning, like, sexually promiscuous. He gets around a lot, sleeps around a lot with anyone. He's done it all the time, and he doesn't care with who, and he doesn't use protection.
No, but I think she said he wasn't the cleanest guy.
Yeah. So looking around, like, all the guys in the room, who do you think's the dirtiest guy?
Oh, I know who's the dirtiest guy. So it's Eric. He's disgusting. He's disgusting. Like, and that's a turnoff. Like, he'd be better looking to me if I knew he wasn't gross. He doesn't shower. Yeah. He's worn the same jeans. I mean, you just...
Well, my washing machine is broken, Heidi. That's why I've worn these jeans for the last 9 days.
You ever heard of a
laundromat?
Yeah. It's been broken for 9 years.
I mean, rinse them off. Hang them on the line. Do something. No, but I just know you're not a guy who showers or stays clean.
No. My wife the other day, she goes, what is that smell?
Yeah,
it's killing me.
Gross.
It's following me through every room. Do I stink? And I said, I don't have a sense of smell. I don't know. And she said, smell me. Smell me.
So you don't smell.
I was trying. And she goes, wait a second. Oh, it's you.
Yeah, you're gross.
When was the last time you showered? Are you wearing deodorant? I said, it's been... 3 days since the shower? It's not a big deal. And no, I'm not wearing deodorant. Why would I wear deodorant?
3 days, no deodorant. No,
Eric, you're a smart
guy. He's gone to the bathroom.
You know that if your sense of smell is gone and you don't take showers, you're going to smell. It seemed like you would take a shower just to make sure you don't smell because you wouldn't be able to smell it if you do.
You'd probably shower too much.
You'd be overly clean.
No, yeah. It doesn't offend me because I don't have a sense of smell.
But wife is going, God, what's the smell that's been following me around? It's disgusting.
Well, he's married now, so he doesn't take showers and doesn't care. He's got a woman now, so why shower?
One foot out the shower door.
That's it.
Well, he jumped both feet in the tub, and so he just doesn't give a damn anymore.
Ew.
Because you guys thought, do women find hairy men sexy? And I was wondering if that's because they look dirty.
I don't know.
Nasty.
It could be just a change.
Maybe
because,
it's a manly thing.
You know how the cycles come and go, and this is in and this is out, long hair's in and long hair's out. Well, coming back in, apparently, with women, younger women especially is they say they like guys who have lots of body hair.
I think
like
it's
hairy, hairy
sweet.
Chest.
I think Frosty.
Hairy men coming back in.
Austin Powers.
There you go.
But I think, too, if you're going like deep, deep, deep into your DNA, if you're going manly equals hair, macho hair that he can provide. Oh, I'm going to go out.
No, it's not. I think it's because that picture you showed us earlier of the kid going to work with makeup on. I think men have feminized themselves so much. And you said there's so many different categories of sexuality now that when you see a guy covered in body hair, you just, he's the straightest thing you can possibly find, even though he might not be. He might be a gorilla gay guy, or what do they call
bear.
Them? Bears.
Yeah.
Gorilla gay guy?
That may exist. I don't know. Maybe it does. You're like, what? He's way more
it's
than a bear.
It's hairy gay guys with really long arms.
They show on Fox.
A banana.
Thursday night's one Fox at 8. It's gorilla gay guy.
there's probably a happy medium in there somewhere.
But Frank's probably onto something. We've metrosexualized ourselves with manicures, pedicures, and nice spiked hair, and this and that, and boy bands, and all this stuff for too long.
If you were looking, you know, at a group of guys, you're going to say, and you're a straight woman, you might pick the hairier guy just from subconsciously thinking he's straight.
Right.
He's straighter than the guy who has his eyebrows done. Even though he might be gay, the hairy guy might be gay, and the eyebrows guy might be straight.
Did you know?
They've theorized that this goes back to the caveman days when we were pretty much apes jumping around.
Yeah, he can provide for me. He's
and
manly.
Back then, they say men used their body hair to detect if they had parasites or not.
Oh, God.
Because if you had parasites, the females wouldn't want you to get with and make little baby cavemen. So you would be able to check your hair for if you have parasites, your hair's going to fall. You have ringworm splotches. You seem to
yeah, but you think you'd be able to see if you have parasites easier when you don't have any hair. You're like, do I have bugs on me?
But if
no.
you have all your hair, you don't have parasites. See?
If I have all this hair, you can't see my rash.
Oh, I see you're saying when you had parasites, you would go hairless. Like
you're healthy because you get all your hair. There's not splotches missing because of ringworm or whatever.
Oh.
So women were attracted to the hairiest man because that was the healthiest parasitic-free man back then, and that's who they had their babies with, and you were getting back to that. Plus, they say that women like to snuggle with warm, fuzzy blankets.
Right, so that's why I go to Home Goods and I get a warm, fuzzy blanket. Yeah. Oh, man, I can't.
So,
even if I can't do that, I can't do that.
You can do chest hair?
You can't.
You
put your arms back, you got that big, bushy pit hair.
Reach up here. Rub on my chest, Heidi. See, you reach in there.
Do you shave your chest?
When did you shower?
I showered this morning.
Do you shave or trim your chest at all? Or is it a forest in there?
Well, I have to clip it at some point because it will get very muffy.
Heidi should enjoy that.
It's warm. I will say
it's not bad, though, right? So you didn't rub enough. Rub it more.
No, I can't, Frank. It's not for me. It's not.
Don't go across the chest like this. Get in there.
Heidi, would you like to feel my chest after his and see which is the most manly?
See, when you're just rubbing the hair, doesn't it just feel like a big bush?
Yeah, but I don't like that.
You don't like bush?
No.
Now come feel my chest. Let me come over there.
No. You just lost your card.
No, I don't like big bush.
Okay, I trimmed my chest.
I cannot lie. Them motherfuckers can't deny when a lady walks in. All right.
How do you know that?
Did you say the mother effers can't deny?
I don't want to.
The other brothers can't deny.
Oh, the brothers.
Right,
those
okay.
mother effers can't deny. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Now, Heidi, I've recently trimmed.
Okay.
Because I had so much chest hair, it made me look fat. My shirt
I think your clipper's broken.
Well, my shirt was sticking out like 2 inches extra because of all the hair under there.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
So I trimmed it down and look how thin I look now, mm-hmm. see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're going to feel stubble on my chest.
Okay.
Go ahead. How manly is that?
Oh, God. I can imagine his feels like a buttered biscuit.
Frank, you really should go feel.
No, I don't.
You,
it just seems like something that flies would die in.
By the way, Heidi's hands are ice cold.
I'm freezing in here. It's 57 degrees.
And that's why my nipples are stiff right now.
They were
my
very,
chest.
Very hard.
You're like one of those old ladies with circulation problems. I need a blanket. God, you're like ice cube fingers.
I'm freezing.
Anyway, so what do you think of my stubble to your chest? Or his Sasquatch?
If I have to choose?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
What did his feel like compared to mine, though? Was it sticky and hard?
No, not sticky.
I'm parasite-free.
It's he shaved. Imagine shaving everything.
Oh, you
and
shaved?
And then having somebody feel it 3 days later.
Stubbly.
Oh, no.
It's stubbly. It's very
stubbly. It's
whiskery.
I can't even shave down to the skin.
Well, how else? There's skin under the bottom of the hair. That's what happens.
There's a clipper guard on it, and you go, I'm going to keep my man hair. I'm not going to shave down to my lady areolas.
I use my dog hair clippers. I did. I used my dog clippers. And
dog clippers.
What's weird is...
You went down to Petco and went just, I don't know, a 10, a 10, a 7, I don't know, whatever you guys use.
What's weird is I stopped underneath my, what are these called?
So you, oh, so you...
I have a hairy
so
stomach.
Belly is hairy.
Yeah, because it didn't stick out that much. But the hair...
That might be all hair. Yeah, you may get
the hair on my chest. Ball.
It's really
You need to yak that thing up.
Here's his hairball face. And then he's all of a sudden
Smalls
thin
Eric.
And hot, right?
That's what it is. That's hilarious, guys.
Maybe you licked your chest clean.
I love you, somebody.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right. We got Gary, who got gonorrhea 2 weeks ago. Hello, Gary.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, I'm pretty good. How you doing?
I'm better now. Not 2 weeks ago, though.
They say gonorrhea is spreading, this study, and through oral sex. And you got it 2 weeks ago?
Yep, listening to you guys' show.
But
in
we
the morning.
Don't.
Did we transmit it somehow?
No, well, I woke up and, you know, we got the morning wood, and I'm like, all right, let me find something. And I'm gay. Guy came over, and I was like, well, you know, I don't want to go like all the way. I don't have all, you know, I don't have too much time. I got to go to work. So I live with my best friend. I put on you guys, so I get some noise. And, you know, just some oral, and I'm all right, I'll send him on his way. Next thing I know, I wake up the next morning, and I'm like, what is this tinkling? Like it's weird. I've never had anything like this. So I'm like, all right, whatever. And the following day, again, even worse, and then get that drip. And I'm like, oh, God. Go to the doctor. My doctor's like, yeah, you got green goop. Good job.
The green
goop.
Oh, he didn't even use a medical term. Even your doctor's just like, yeah.
Thank you, Gary.
Gonorrhea Gary from now on.
Yeah, gonorrhea Gary. Old GG.
Yeah.
Couldn't you get it from a public toilet seat then? If you make contact.
Maybe.
I mean, think of it.
That's why I always
crappy,
hover.
Horrible bathroom in an airport. Ooh. Or something. You sit down and use a toilet.
Oh, I hover. I don't care what I got to do. I'm hovering in a public place.
You don't even want to touch into that seat. God knows what's...
Even here, like, because we share a bathroom. It's co-ed or non-gender, whatever the hell you call it. You guys leave the toilet seat up. Well, I need to, you know, I still, sometimes I'll hover, but sometimes I'll just put it down because I don't want to look at it, the underneath part of it.
Yeah, it's you don't want to see it.
So I use my foot to, like, kind of grab it and flip it down. I won't touch it.
I use my foot to kick it up.
Yeah, you're not going to touch it.
That explains how I got athlete's foot on my penis. I have athlete's penis.
I mean, they're barefoot. I got gonorrhea between my toes. Oh.
Got the green goop. Oh, my God. We're gross. As humans.
Ugh. Just spray some tenactin on it. You'll be fine.
Tough actin, tenactin.
I think that stuff can cure everything.
Really?
I think it really can.
Yeah, I should have a can at the house just for whatever.
Who has a can of tenactin at their house right
now? I
think
I do.
I do.
Yeah.
That stuff's kick ass. I spray it on everything.
Can use it as a
oven
cooking
cleaner.
Spray. I'm out of
yeah,
Pam.
Oven cleaner. Yeah, everything. Walking to my car at night, the mall, spray it in someone's eyes. Doubles his maze.
KLOS traffic. It's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Yeah.
On the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
Hey, I've got tickets to see Dimitri Martin at the Ace Hotel this Saturday. One pair of tickets to the lucky 20th caller. Call right now, 800-955-KLOS. Tickets are furnished by Golden Voice. And now it's time for News of the Day with Lisa May. Our 5K band of the day is Jimi Hendrix. So what you want to do is listen for them today in the 9, noon, 4, and also 5 o'clock hours for your shot at $5,000. That is coming up tomorrow. We've got our Subaru pet of the day. Actually, it's two of them, really. Barbie, she's 3 years old. Beautiful little kitty. She looks more like a kitten than a cat. 3 years old, a domestic short hair. And she's bonded with a cat named Rainy. Both of them were living together and went to the shelter when their owner passed away. So really, you need to take them both. Do you have room in your heart for two little kitties? I bet you do. Go to 95.5KLOS.com and check out Barbie and Rainy. Subaru Pet of the Day brought to you by the all-new 2018 Subaru Crosstrek. Love is out there. Find it in an all-new 2018 Subaru Crosstrek. Coffee. You're probably sipping a cup right now, aren't you? Well, for years we've been hearing a debate about whether it's good or bad for you. Well, your cup of joe may soon come with a cancer warning label because when you roast coffee beans, apparently a chemical called acrylamide is produced, and it has been linked to cancer. A lawsuit filed back in 2010 would require companies like Starbucks and 7-Eleven to warn customers. The attorney for the nonprofit that filed the lawsuit says what they want to do is force coffee companies to reduce the amount of the chemical to the point where there would be no cancer risk. Nintendo's made an announcement about Mario Kart that has people like our own Eric very excited. Mario Kart is coming to mobile platforms in the form of Mario Kart Tour. We don't have a lot of information yet, except that it will hit your phones and tablets by the end of March of next year, and it will be available on both iOS and Android. Scott Baio went on Good Morning America yesterday to refute what Nicole Eggert said about him on Tuesday on Megyn Kelly Today. They worked together on Charles in Charge. And Nicole said that Scott sexually abused her for years, starting when she was 14. Here's what Scott said on GMA.
Her first allegation that we had sex when she was 17, which is not true. As soon as that was proven to be 100% false, she comes up with a new story where something happened once a week for years. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a sitcom set, but every day there's teachers, parents, family, crew, producers, my dad. So how any of this could have happened is absolutely impossible.
He does say that he and Nicole had a consensual relationship after she was over the age of 18. And you guys remember that DJ that got fired for groping Taylor Swift when they were taking a picture together? His name is David Mueller, and he just started a new job at Kix 92.7 in Mississippi this week. But things did not get off to a great start. Yesterday was his third day there, and TMZ says he had to evacuate the station because someone emailed in a bomb threat. It did turn out to be a hoax, but a source at the station says the threat was directly related to Mueller's hiring, so it was probably a Taylor Swift fan. No arrests so far. It's 7:53. That's News of the Day with Lisa May. Up next, more Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
How did you save your kid? Were they injured, trapped, lost? Have you ever been your child's hero? Is what we're going to do right now. 1-800-955-5567 is the number. What's making us go down this road? Well, a 17-year-old kid named Samuel Lethbridge left his parents' house near Sydney, Australia. Hey, Australia, Heidi.
I'm going to be there at the end of February.
Yeah, he left their house on Sunday to go meet his girlfriend, but never showed. And when he didn't answer his phone, his parents got worried and reported him missing. The cops weren't very helpful. They said he probably just ran away. Oh, well, thanks for that.
Thanks from this wonderful home we've given him. Okay.
Yeah, they said he probably just ran away and told them just to wait for him at home. But Samuel's dad, Tony, knew he'd never run away, so he took the matters into his own hands. He had this sinking feeling that Samuel crashed his car somewhere. But the brush is so thick where they live that you'd never be able to see a car if it drove off the road.
Wow.
So he went to a nearby airport with $1,000 in his pocket and hired a helicopter pilot to go search for him. And in less than 10 minutes, he spotted Samuel's car crashed on the side of the road, just like Tony thought. And he texted Tony and told him where it was, this helicopter pilot. And then Tony drove there and found Samuel seriously injured but alive. Rescuers had to cut him out of the car to save him. He had severe dehydration and a compound fracture of his femur, which is like your upper leg bone snapping through your skin. That's a compound fracture.
Good Lord.
And a fractured forearm and an ankle injury. But thanks to his dad, he should be okay. So that's how we're on this road of have you ever been your child's hero? Have you saved your child? 1-800-955-KLOS. Let's go to Nick. Hello, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
You had to save your child?
Yeah, we were at a pizza place and he was about 5 years old and all the kids are running around and eating pizza and stuff. And I look over at my son and he's ghost white and I realize he's choking on a piece of pizza. So I run over and I had to give him a Heimlich maneuver a couple times and that piece of pizza went flat all the way across the room.
Landed in the ball pit. They never found it.
And no, is that feeling, Nick, when you see your son go from white to like he started to pink up again? Did you just have this amazing sense of relief?
Yeah, exactly. I'd never done it before. It was just kind of instinct took over. And
now, did you injure him while doing it? Because you're not familiar with the actual Heimlich maneuver, but did you break any ribs?
No, I didn't break any ribs. I was familiar with how to do it, but I'd never done it before, especially on a child. So
right.
Did people question what you were doing with this grown man at a pizza party? He's grabbing some kid from behind.
Get it up!
Looking at me for a minute, but then they realized what was going on.
Yeah, until the pizza flew out, it was like, oh, thank God.
Oh, my Lord.
All right, Nick. Hello, Justin.
Good morning, guys.
So how'd you save your kid?
Well, we were in the backyard. My son was playing with a little girl, and he was trying to show off. So he did like a little 360 and fell and hyperextended his arm. His arm bent the opposite way than what it's supposed to.
What part of the arm?
Oh, God.
His elbow.
Went backwards?
Went backwards.
Like a dog's leg? Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
So he screamed, "Dad," and I turned around and I was like, holy, okay.
Did you want to puke?
And I put it back in place myself.
Whoa.
Now you have had no medical training.
No medical training.
So you just grabbed him by the upper arm and grabbed him by the wrist and went pop.
Yeah, I grabbed him by the elbow and top bone and bottom bone and pulled and separated it, and it snapped back like a rubber band.
Oh, Justin! Oh my God, what a dad!
Oh,
that's that dad stuff that kicks in that you didn't even know you knew you could do.
Is he older now?
Yeah, he's 11. He's in baseball. We're in the All-Stars. We're going to our regional game 3 days later. So I was more worried about playing the game. So once I put it back, I was like, all right, you're good to play, right?
But now he throws a mean curveball because his arm goes all the way around. Talk about a spinner.
Very bendy.
Thank you so much for your call, Justin. Let's see. Alan saved his kid. Hello, Alan.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good.
Well, I had a terrible experience in Hawaii in a place called Hanama Bay with my daughter. I'm snorkeling. She's about 12 years old at the time. And we get caught in this underwater riptide. It was like a river underwater, and there was no way to come up. I believe the lifeguards told me to call it the Molokai Express. So anyway, I have to grab my daughter with one hand and try to hold her out of the water as this current is basically ripping everything off our bodies. And what seemed like minutes underwater and, you know, finally getting out of it. But it just, you know you're going to die. You know you're going to drown. And at that minute, you just have to do everything you can to save your child.
So you said you were holding her up out of the water so she could breathe. So you were underwater the whole time?
And I'm underwater the whole time trying to grab a rock and finally swimming maybe sideways to get out of it. But it's amazing. It's just like a river underwater, and you know you have to do everything you can to get up, and you can't. It pushes you down. So
you couldn't
like
get up to the surface? It pushes you down?
Right. And I couldn't get up to the surface, so I'm holding her up. It's all I could do to keep her out of the water. And to this day, she's 32 now, and she remembers it just like it was yesterday. We talked about it all the time. It was just an amazing feeling that you can hold your breath that long because you can make yourself do it because you have to. There's no choice.
Did your wife still bitch at you?
of course.
You mean
my ex-wife.
Yes, exactly, Alan. Now I'm gonna give you a prize for that.
All right, thank you so much.
Stand hold, Alan. Yeah, look at all the heroes here. Have you ever been your child's hero? You had to save their life. We got Amanda on the phone. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Frank.
How are you a hero to your child?
Oh, and I'm the funny girl. Remember me?
Of course.
I made Heidi laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, we played Funny Girl?
Me and my daughter and a couple of friends, we were up at Mill Creek, and we were playing in this little pondy area, and the waterfall was filling up another area with a rope swing. They're all swinging off from it. And my daughter just walks. She's got her life jacket on because she was only three at the time. And she walks right past it, and that current grabbed her so fast. All I could think about was one of those grates. She's going to get stuck.
Yeah.
There wasn't a slatted grate. It was just like a big, huge guillotine.
Yeah.
I held on to her, and I couldn't, even with my feet down in the hole, I couldn't pull her out. So I had to shove her through with my feet and jump over an 18-foot dam wall into a bunch of rocks. There were 25 people standing there, and one of them had a security guard outfit on, and not one of them got in the water. They're like, hey, lady, are you okay? I'm like, don't worry about me. I'm saving my daughter.
But they all had their phones out.
Water sucks.
Oh, my God.
I was at the beach with them one time, and we were over at the dog beach out in Long Beach, and I had all four of my kids with me, and I bought them inner tubes. And we brought rope, and we were just going to cruise around that little bay at the dog beach, and the current picked up, and they beelined it and jumped off the sand.
Maybe you guys should become a desert family. Yeah, yeah, you know, like, yeah, go out to the desert to enjoy things. Stay away from water.
That's what I said. I'm like, we're never going to the ocean again. We still go all the time. But I had to leave my two littlest kids on shore with people I didn't even know. I looked at them, like, with devil eyes. I'm like, don't move. Right. And I had to Baywatch it into the water.
Were you in slow motion, Amanda?
And I had to pull all of my kids out of that water.
Do you look like Pamela Anderson?
We're the only thing that were touching the ground.
Or Louis Anderson.
And I look at my son Daniel because he's the biggest one. I'm going to get the littlest one first.
Oh, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Amanda, for your call and being a hero. Yeah, I mean, as a parent, you would, I mean, terrifying.
Well, you would do anything, I would imagine.
And as far as like, you don't know what you'd do in any situation. Like, if somebody else and their car's on fire, would you go pull them out of the car? But when it comes to your own kid, you will. I mean, and I leapt over an 18-foot dam wall. It's like, yeah, the mom lifts the car off
Mama
the child.
Bear. It's crazy.
Jeff saved his kid. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
How'd you save your kid?
Oh, we were at Chuck E. Cheese, and it was a birthday party for my little daughter. And they're running around having fun. Well, she had one of those noisemaker party blowout whistles where you blow on it and the paper thing goes out about a foot and comes back in.
Oh, I hate
those things, and all of a sudden I looked over and she had a panic look on her face, and I said, "Are you okay?" And she opened her mouth and I could just see the end of it. So
honey,
like Jim Carrey,
she'll pass it.
It'll be a real party.
It was wedged in the back of her throat.
Oh my God.
So I didn't know whether to pull it out or what, so I went ahead and pulled on it a little bit, and I realized, no, it was a big round hole in the back of her throat and started bleeding like crazy. So I threw her in the car and raced her to the hospital around the corner, and there's nothing they could do. You can't put stitches back there. So it was just bleeding, and it was a mess. Well, but it sure destroyed the party.
You said, what are you doing? She tried to swallow this thing?
No, she fell and it wedged back.
Fell.
Oh my God. Jeff.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for participating on the show. If you want to tell us how you were a hero to your child, 1-800-955-5567 is the number. We got John on line 2. Hey, John.
Yeah, hi there.
How'd you save your kid?
Well, my daughter was 6 months old. We went up to Big Bear and she had febrile seizures. And I'm a CPR instructor, woke up in the middle of the night, my kid's seizing, her lips are blue, and I just went into CPR mode and told everybody what to do, and I actually had to start breathing for her because she wasn't breathing on her own, and now the kid's 13 years old and she's doing fine, so I must have done something right.
Wow, John, thank God for your CPR training.
You know,
it was interesting because I held it all together the whole time.
You say the whole time, John, from the beginning, from discovering her looking blue to how long you had to breathe for her, perform CPR, how many minutes passed?
It was seconds. It wasn't even minutes.
No, but I mean, like, it was seconds she was back, you know, awake again, or did you have to, like, give compressions and breathe for 20 minutes?
No, she probably maybe a couple minutes.
Couple minutes.
By the time the paramedics got there, they were actually, I was yelling for oxygen. They got oxygen on her and she started to pink up when we went down to the hospital and she was fine. So
I'm so glad. I would be a nervous wreck constantly with babies.
I'm going to give you a prize to John. Oh, this is a good one. What would you do in Bill's case? Hello, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
How'd you save your kids?
We were up in Big Bear. We went up to go camping and all the campgrounds were full. So we went to the Jinx Lake Overflow, backcountry camping, and I'm cooking a London broil and some hot dogs. My daughter's 8, my son's 3, and all of a sudden, 300-pound bear come walking in. He wants our food. And I was like, nah, I don't think so. Not today. He said, kids, get in the truck. So they get in the truck and they're freaking out and I'm throwing softball sized rocks at this bear chasing him. Well, he comes back around. He leaves and comes back around behind us.
Oh my God.
And I did the same thing. I had to do that. So ever since then, they thought, man, my dad will fight a bear. He'll fight anything.
Right, yeah. You're a badass dad.
You fought a bear.
They'll tell that story their whole life.
I'm a Jesse Sammy Hagar, okay? So you stay on hold, and we'll hook you up.
I mean, Bill could screw up the rest of his dad stuff the rest of the way. Like, he could screw up as a dad. They'll always have, yeah, my dad kind of an a-hole, but he fought off a bear and saved our life. I mean, you know what I mean? You always have that amazing story.
My dad pulled a whistle out of my throat.
Not quite the same.
My dad fought a grizzly bear.
I choked on pizza once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hyperextended my elbow. Our dad fought a bear, so...
Yeah, what about my dad fought a bear? Okay.
Yeah.
We started this topic all based off the story out of Australia where a 17-year-old kid was drove to his girlfriend's house but never made it there and wasn't answering his phone, and his father had a feeling, just that gut feeling that he had a car accident. And there's so much brush where this family lives that if you did go off the road, they'd never see your car if you were just driving by. It'd just be in the brush and thicket and gone.
Yeah.
So he hired a helicopter, went out and found him. So... This offshoot of this is, have you ever had one of those gut feelings end up being true? I mean, this wasn't really a premonition because it already happened, but he's like, he had the feeling, exactly, car accident, that's what happened, go find him. And it ended up being real. Have you ever had a psychic moment in your gut that ended up being real? 1-800-955-5567 is the number while we wait on your psychic moment calls to come in. And if you have any stories here in the studio, anybody, feel free to chime in. We got Sally on line 5. Hello, Sally.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Tell us your story.
Well, my daughter was 2 weeks old, and she kept throwing up. She wasn't eating anything. So when I took her to the ER, the doctors were saying, well, you're overreacting. She's just gassy. She's being, any normal 2-week-old newborn is acting. And I was like, no. And I basically said, I'm not leaving until you give her an ultrasound. And come to find out, they gave her an ultrasound, and it was a softball-sized tumor on her fallopian tube.
Oh, my God. At 2 weeks old, she has a softball-sized tumor?
Softball, yeah. They kept telling me...
She has fallopian tubes?
Yeah, you were born with those.
Oh, my God. I'm kidding. You never think about that.
You don't. You don't, no.
Yeah, it was just instinct. And even my own husband, he didn't believe. He's like, you're overreacting. She's just a baby. She's fine. And I was like, no, there's something wrong.
Well, yeah, you would think a softball-sized tumor in a 2-week-old baby.
Most of the baby.
It's pretty much just, it's a softball with legs and arms.
Right.
And it's like, you feel it. Like, what's this hard thing inside this baby?
There was teeth, there was hair, but it was just a regular tumor. It was benign.
Oh, it wasn't an unborn twin?
But you think you'd see that on the ultrasound when you went to get to your ultrasound, that they'd be like, wow, your baby's in there. And, well, did you swallow a softball?
I don't think it looks through your baby, too. It was inside the baby. I don't think the ultrasound can go right through the baby,
too. You can see the baby's heart and the organs and its spinal cord.
Well, yeah, when it's an amoeba.
No, when it's like...
When it's that one-eyed minnow.
When you go to see an ultrasound, you see their organs and their heartbeat.
Not when they're big. I don't think when they do that 3D picture, you don't see through the baby's chest.
You see? Of course you see. That's what they're looking for.
I don't know. I was never there when I had babies. I was always on the run.
What's this ultrasound thing?
I'm like, try and find me. I peel out of town.
Ding dong. Found you.
Well, Sally, I'll give you a prize, too. Oh, the psychic moments.
I'm trying to think. I mean, like, I mean, I've had those stupid little ones where you're thinking of somebody you haven't...
Ooh, goody.
I know. But you're thinking of somebody that you haven't thought of in years, and you start thinking about that person.
No, that's a Time Life commercial.
And then your phone rings, and you're like, oh, my God.
Are you thinking about someone and suddenly got a phone call? Read the book.
I know, but I've had those moments where you're like, and they called me, and I haven't talked to you for 10 years. I mean, it happened to my friend Darla, who was in high school with me.
I was thinking about calling somebody. I picked it up, the phone, and it didn't ring because I was going to call them, and they were on the phone already because they were calling me.
At the exact same time. And then, what? See, what is that?
I don't know.
That is.
I think it's a glitch in the Matrix or something like that. It's got to be have those kind of moments.
Something. There's something there.
I told you guys about Kristen that I grew up with.
soulmate. We were destined to be together.
Oh, your wife is probably really happy to hear that that's your soulmate.
Listen, well, it's okay because Kristen died.
Oh.
And I never got with Kristen. We kissed one time, and it was like the skies opened up and the heaven shone upon us, and we knew it was meant to be, but for some reason, I couldn't go there.
How old were you?
It was in high school. It was like 17 years old. And we kissed so naturally. It wasn't even a romantic kiss. It was like we had been together for years. We were celebrating something, and we both went, yay!
And then
and it was that, oh, this is, there's something moving inside of me.
I don't think I've ever kissed a stranger on the lips just because I'm celebrating something.
Well, we weren't strangers.
But I mean, even if something happened so wonderful in this room, I'm not going to kiss anybody on the lips in here.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't go, oh my God. And then, oh my God, Heidi.
And then all of a sudden,
our lips fit like puzzle pieces.
Magic. It's been you all this time. You were right here.
That's exactly what it was like. But for some reason, I could not be with Kristen. And a couple of months later, after that kiss, she died in a car wreck.
Of mono. Oh. The kissing disease.
And she was beautiful and smart and everything I wanted in a lady.
Did that destroy you when she died in that car accident?
Did it? Yeah. It crushed me.
Was she driving by herself or was it with a group?
Was it
with her boyfriend?
No, it was with her friend.
A guy?
No, a girl.
Did her friend die too?
No, her friend lived, and yeah.
So. Was her friend driving, or was she driving?
Her friend was driving.
Oh, my God. That's fun to live with the rest of your life.
Were they drunk?
No. They were good church girls.
They were drunk.
That doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
No, trust me.
On that communion wine.
The sacramental wine.
These
so
were
good girls.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know what?
That
who
sucks,
knows?
Man.
Maybe that was your...
That was the one.
Yeah.
But maybe that was somebody intervening... Because she's not supposed to be the one. Your wife's the one.
Wait, I don't understand how we're on a psychic moment here.
Because I had the gut feeling not to be with Kristen. I don't know what it was. I was so nuts about her. And the kiss, everything in me stirred to be with Kristen. But I couldn't
do
it.
She'll be dead in a month.
Well, yeah, so maybe it's
something. I was so disconnected from my own feeling.
Yeah. Like, yeah, don't get invested because she's not going to be living longer.
Yep.
But you didn't think that she was going to be dead.
No.
You just knew that you would never end up together.
I just knew I shouldn't do it at that moment.
That's bizarre.
No, you should have done it. She's dead.
She died a virgin, probably.
Wait, what if I had committed, and then I would have been with her driving, and then she never died, and I'd be with Kristen right now, with my soulmate, my true love.
Yeah, with a kid without a stupid name.
She's probably in the car talking about you with her seatbelt off, turned all sideways, talking to her fan, yep, then window.
Yeah.
Frank.
Oh. I'm just saying.
She was nuts about me, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Hmm. You know,
She was talking to her friend. Her friends, you know, women do when they drive and they talk. They got to look at you while they're driving and talk. It's like, look at the road. I can hear you. I'm sitting here. What are you looking at me for?
Oh, it's so funny. It's so true. It's so true.
I don't know why Eric hasn't gone any further yet. Tree.
Frank. Oh, my God.
I'm just saying.
This is awful.
You should have
brought it up.
Gone for it, and then she'd probably be alive. And her friend wouldn't be living with this horrible guilt that she was driving. I mean, just a thought.
Did you ever ask her how she felt about you? Were they talking about you in the car at the time?
No, I knew that she liked me. I knew. It was well known.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow-wee.
We got Damien on the phone. Hello, Damien.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You ever had a psychic thought?
I have had a psychic thought, but you know what? It ended up going the wrong way. So it was a New Year's party. I went out, went to work literally 2 hours after the party. I should...
Oh, no.
Did you kiss this guy, Eric? Oh.
The kiss of death.
I think he was driving, and he's calling us.
Something told me, you know what? Go home and get some rest. But I was like, you know what? I never miss these fights, so I'm going to go stay up even longer, about 30 hours, no sleep. And my mom even tells me, you know what? You shouldn't go. Go get some rest. And my mom never tells me that. So by the time I got there, we saw the fights. At the end of the fight, I end up going out, smoke a cigarette. And dude, these guys come out with guns and end up shooting it up.
You got shot.
No, he was outside smoking a cigarette.
I got shot 5 times, and I didn't listen to my gut instinct, but I had a feeling like, you know, just stay home and get some rest, but I didn't listen to it. I didn't listen to my mom, who always never told me anything about staying home. She told me that one time, and I didn't listen.
Right.
And I ended up getting shot.
In the gut. Whoa. I hear someone laughing in the background. She's like, hey, he got you. Oh, Damien, thanks so much for calling and telling us that story.
Damn it.
Lisa May. Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
For calling Lisa May. Oh, there she is. Here. How are you doing? You've had a psychic moment, good. Lisa?
I don't have one, but my boyfriend tells a story of a dream he had the night before the Challenger crashed. He saw them in the ship, mm-hmm. and he saw it explode, and he saw them strapped in their seats falling through the air, which is exactly what happened the next day.
Holy cow.
My God.
Yeah. He has bad dreams all the time.
But that was like that a premonition come true? Dream.
It was a premonition.
Does he always get up and write down his dreams? Do you ask him about them since he's had this one?
Because a lot of them are just nightmares. But that one, has stuck with him always.
Wow.
KLOS Traffic.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Rocks.
On the Rock of Southern California. 95.5 KLOS.
How did you almost die? 1-800-955-5567 is the number. There's a video going around of a kid with an umbrella almost gets struck by lightning in the yard.
That's crazy, yeah. Video.
Lucky to be alive.
There's a guy who's just driving, minding his own business, and a crane falls on his car, flattens the roof, but he's okay. Only, I guess, hurt his ankle. That's it. But could have been dead, I guess, a foot difference.
Jeez.
And he'd have been paced. So how did you almost die? Let's talk to Tina. Hello, Tina.
Hello. So I was young. I was maybe about 10, 11 years old. I was coming back from the book fair at school. There's a big hill that we go down to get to our house. It's me and my brother. We're on our bikes. And there's this handicapped woman that lives on our block. We know her. And so she speeds up around us as we're going down the hill. And I don't know if she saw something or what, but she hit the brakes. I slammed into the back of her car, flipped over, and landed right in front of her car, just head smacked right on the pavement. I cracked open my head. Luckily for us, one of our other neighbors, who's a nurse, just so happened to be on her lunch break. Here's the commotion, comes running out, starts wrapping my head in gauze, but I cracked open my head.
At 10 years old, you cracked your 13. Head open.
This was the 70s, 80s, before we wore helmets on our bikes?
Yeah, pretty much.
She'll learn. That's She'll right. learn. Did you learn? Yes, you learned, didn't you?
Did I learn? That old lady shouldn't have been behind the wheel.
Oh, it's her fault. Okay.
I remember that. I guess I could have died. I was stupid little kid. I think I was a kindergarten. And those slides on the playground that have the hump in them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I hate that.
They seem so tall when you're in kindergarten. It's like you're climbing up that ladder. It's like, oh, my God, I'm top of the world.
Nervous,
like
heart racing, yeah.
You get at the top. It's got that hump in it. And so going off the hump, raised my legs up like I'm popping a wheelie, you know, like ramping off of it. Yeah, I never put my legs back down. So I went off the end. And this is back when they didn't have, like, sand. It was gravel.
Gravel and cinders, yeah.
These white
sharp rocks.
And I think at the very bottom, like when they cemented the slide in place, that had been worn away so much that the jagged, you know, concrete around the post was sitting out. And I go, I'm just landing back of my head on that. Crack!
You could have been at least, you know, the rest of your life.
I know.
It's the dumbest thing. Like when you
never did that again because I learned.
You learned. The slide is the dumbest thing. In July at a park, we're going to have a steel slide. A hot metal slide.
You know the stupid slide they have now at parks is the rolling pin slides.
What's that?
I don't
know. They seem way more dangerous than just the hot metal slide.
Pinched.
I know. It's like rolling pins, but they're all lined up together, so they just all roll down together as opposed to slide down. Because I guess you can get stuck on it. Your skin gets pinched in there.
That's a horrible idea.
Little baby fingers.
Well, the lawyers will shut those down. I don't think they still have these anymore. They used to have these giant parks slides where you'd climb like three flights of stairs. and they're made of like plexiglass, and they were huge, massive.
Oh, those are like at the fairs or carnivals.
Yeah, like those.
The burlap sack.
Yeah, like lap sacks. Yeah, three or four bumps. And as a kid, I was coming down one of those one time, and the girl who was in my lane finished her slide, but just stood there and didn't move. So when I hit her, she fell into me and bonked my head back as hard as it could be. I had a goosebump as big as my head my head on the back.
Did you learn?
Whoa.
Wait till everybody's off the track, huh?
I don't know, but I always thought, how smart would I be had that not happened?
Maybe you were normal.
Maybe. Right.
And
maybe
this is normal. What happened after you bonked your head off the slide.
Frosty Stillwell in Phenomenon.
I'm showing my mom and dad, like, well, look at the size of the... Oh, shut up! We'll get you something to cry about. Track, track, track. I'm like, oh, God, I mean, the dog was going to die.
Eat your cotton candy, fatty. No, you weren't fat back then. You were still skinny. That's when you started eating. It turned off your appetite.
Maybe.
You're
always
hungry.
Seriously, it was a near-death bonk.
Yeah.
Frank, maybe you could have been different had you not if you stayed on that slide.
I know.
Maybe that bonk did something to you.
I had the cure for cancer in there someplace, and nope.
Smacked it right out of you.
The slide took it away from y'all. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark, how did you almost die?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, my friends and I were out taking pictures around the area where I was living, and we went into a cemetery. Found one of those great big upright tombstones. I sat up next to it, fell backwards.
Oh.
The cross that was the top piece of it started wobbling. This thing was like 4 feet tall. Rolled out of the way just as it thudded right down where I would have been laying.
Oh, my God.
Well, talk about a place to die. I mean, you know, we're right here.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, figuring it took all three of us to pick the thing up and put it back.
Like did you think it was some divine, weird message from God that a giant cross almost crushed you to death? Like, get the hell out of here, you bums.
Yeah.
Yeah, all it's missing is a dramatic music chord.
Yeah, did you learn?
Yeah.
Okay, he learned. Okay, and I'm going to give you a prize.
Thank you very much.
Stay at home, and we'll hook you up.
Almost killed by a cemetery cross. Do you snicker at that funeral? How'd he pass? Well, you're never going to believe it.
All right, let's go to Jeremiah. Hello, Jeremiah.
Hey, it's nice to finally speak to you guys, man. Good morning.
You too. How'd you almost die?
And so it was me and three friends. We went out one night, and we were pretty drunk, man. Well, after the party, we ended up getting in a fight with some people while we're outside in the middle of the street fighting. And I guess one of the girls that was with the other party came around and started stabbing us all in the back.
What?
That's me four times, my friend eight times, and my other friend another four times.
Did anybody die?
Nah, nobody died, dude. They took off, and I sat on the ground.
What, you stabbed
me
with a spork?
Phone, looked on maps to find out where we were.
Well, yeah, did you see the weapon? Was it a big knife or just a tiny little, you know, pocket knife?
It was a good-sized pocket knife.
A good-sized pocket knife.
I had to have surgery, man. They got me in the lung, liver, spleen, and kidney.
Oh, Jesus, Jeremiah.
So why did she stop stabbing all of you and not just finish the job? Do you know?
Well, I was hearing if someone dies, I'm going to jail. Let's get the hell out.
Oh, okay.
So, can you, for those of you who haven't been stabbed, what is the sensation like? The moment that the knife is going in, is it searing pain? Is it? Because we know what a bee sting.
Is it a bee sting?
Yeah. How?
Is it a bad pinch?
How can
you don't feel it?
You don't feel it.
He's fighting an adrenaline. You're probably
none of us knew we were stabbed. My friend took off in his car when he heard the cops coming. He's like, I can't go to jail. I got a warrant. He didn't know he was stabbed until, like, four books later he was bleeding out in his car. He had to call someone.
Because that happy, your body goes, send in the happy juice.
Or it's so sharp and so
you're going so fast, you don't feel it.
Well, that's a good thing, then. I'd rather be stabbed than shot
I think the same thing.
During the fight, I felt myself getting weak. Like, my punches had no more energy in them, you know?
Oh, my God. That's what it feels like. Losing blood, yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
All right, Jim. Yeah. I'm going to give you a prize.
Glad you're okay, Jim.
There you go. Stay on hold. We'll hook you up with that.
Mm. Oh, that feeling of, like, punching, but you're getting weak. Oh, and you didn't even know you were stabbed. You're like, why am I so tired?
And I'd be worried about, at least use a different knife for each victim, because I don't want to get someone's blood disease.
Yeah.
Could you change blades in between stabbings,
use a stale knife for me, please.
Just stabby seconds.
If you were going to be a stabbing guy, have a different knife for every person. That's all I'm saying. At least that's all I'm asking for.
Just courtesy.
Is a sterile knife.
Hello, Kyle.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how's it going, guys?
How'd you almost die?
Motorcycle accident about 2 years ago.
All right. Describe the accident for us.
Yeah, I was like two blocks from my house. Light turned green. I took off. some guy in a pickup truck turned right out in front of me. He ran a red light right in front of me. I hit the bed of the truck. I flipped over, landed face first on the asphalt. I woke up, came to, woke up, realized I had two broken ribs. My ankle was shattered. My wrist was broken. And, yeah, that was it, man. Life flashed before my eyes, you know.
Did you learn?
Well, I still ride.
Do you have a helmet? Did you have a helmet on that day, Kyle?
Yeah, okay. Of course.
All right, Kyle, since you still ride, I got a prize for you.
Aw, sweet, man.
There you go, buddy.
Hey, love you guys, man. Love you guys.
Me too.
Ride he got safe, to see his life in front of his eyes.
Whew.
I'm not sure how good my life would be. I'm hoping I get someone else's
life. Would you be like, I can't die yet. This story sucks. I'm like, bring me back.
Please finish me.
First, it's an unsterile knife. Now, look at this stupid life I'm watching.
All right, let's see. Do you want to hear from Janelle, who was scuba diving and almost died? Or Manuel, who was electrocuted?
Ooh.
Or from Mike, whose brakes failed going down a hill while driving a limo with 14 people in it?
Oh, my God. Do I have to choose? I want all of those.
All right. Let's go Janelle first. Talk about scuba diving. Hello, Janelle.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Tell us your story, how you almost died.
So I was getting scuba diving certification in college, and we were 40 feet in the ocean in Monterey Bay, and you have to go through all these tests to make sure that you can be certified, like taking off your respirator, putting it back in, making sure that you know how to handle an emergency underwater. And the final test was to take off our goggles to see if we can put them back on underwater just in case they get ripped off. So I was the first one in the circle of about 10 of us to do this, and my diving instructor goes up to grab my shoulder, but I thought he was grabbing my spare respirator mask, and so I thought he meant for me to take my respirator off and my goggles, and I quickly realized that was not the right thing to do because I couldn't see and couldn't breathe 40 feet underwater.
God.
And since I took off my goggles, I just left them up, and goggles have air in them. If you leave them up, there's a bubble. And so they floated up about probably 15 feet. The girl next to me grabbed them. And then my respirator's bubbling. I can't see it. Nobody can do anything because they're just watching in horror. My diving instructor grabs my spare one, puts it back in my mouth, and my first instinct was to start for the surface, but of course we're 40 feet underwater. My lungs would have exploded.
Oh, you gotta go slow, don't you?
Slow, yeah.
Oh,
well, Jesus. You can just blow out and go all the way up. Just don't hold your breath, and then you'd have been fine.
Exactly.
But did then, you learn?
Yeah, definitely.
Did you pass?
But she learned. That's all that matters. Did you get your certification? Now open water. Is that you can do it still?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, it didn't freak you out. You're still a scuba diver.
Yeah, it scared me so bad, though.
That could have been it.
I lost my goggles.
Yikes.
Yeah, totally.
You know, I'm a rescue diver. Do you guys know that?
You certified? Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one step away from being a dive master. I just didn't go out. I know.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
No desire.
It's been a while. I've done it, but
you know, there's plenty of people who have gone down and filmed it. I'll just be at home in my easy chair watching a film. I'll just watch a show that shows diving. I don't have to do it myself. I don't have to drown that way.
That's just like, it's almost like, you know, being on the motorcycle when you're just there and there's nothing out. The outside world is gone.
Isn't scary, though?
And you're underwater. Yeah, well.
Because there's sharks out there and things go wrong, like respirator lady there.
Yeah.
And,
the instructor always says, you know, always look out to the blue. Look out to the deep. That's where you see the good stuff. Don't just keep looking down at the bottom. Or, you know, look out to the blue. And I remember that one time. I was like, my God. All right. So I stopped. And I turned to look out into the ocean, the deep ocean.
Oh.
And I'm swimming with, like, the school of barracuda that were about 12 feet long, each of them. And they're swimming, right there with me. Like, I was like, that's part of the school.
They're not going to bother you?
And I was like, whoa. And they were just checking me out. And then they all just off and gone. I was like, wow. But I had no idea because I was looking at the bottom.
Right.
But I was swimming with these fish that were giant with their teeth. Oh,
is it true the bear? Oh, there we go. Let's see.
Did I learn?
No.
Yeah, that's great.
Wow, it's
very
too scary
meditative,
for me,
relaxing for me.
Could you rescue me 40 feet under?
Well, yeah. You don't weigh as much as you do
on
land.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It'd be hard to get you down.
That's true. I'm so full of buoyant blubber and gas.
Yeah. We'd have to put weights on you.
You would, like Jimmy Hoffa. Oh, yeah. I don't think I'd sing.
Yeah, You'd have concrete fins.
It's true. It's true because when I have my house in my pool, when I'm in the shallow end, I walk towards deep and my belly starts going up as I get deeper and it floats up almost to my chin. It's just I can't get underwater.
You're your own noodle.
All right, let's go to Mike where the brakes failed going downhill while driving a limo with 14 people in it. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, tell us the story.
Sure, I was, it was old school when GPS weren't working too well. It was a big limo. It fit about 16 people in it. I had 14 people in there and I was going down a pretty steep hill. And I wasn't supposed to be on a hill because the GPS got me lost. I was in Marietta, Fallbrook area. And all of a sudden, I took this wrong turn. I couldn't back up. I couldn't turn around, so I had to go down the hill. And it was a really steep hill. And I had my brakes all the way applied. I had to go down all the way to the first gear. I even had my emergency brake all the way applied. And nothing was working. So it was a steep hill. Not only was it a steep hill, but it was like almost a one-way hill. And so it was swerving. It was like it was a windy road. And
so how'd you stop?
And luckily the hill bottomed out. So that was the only
the
way.
The hill flattened out. Oh my god!
Yeah. Just overthinking. But
were people in the back who were partying and not knowing what's going on because there's the partition?
Had no idea.
But they're getting slammed around in the back.
I wasn't worried about it. but yeah, it was bad. The brakes started smoking. It was hot. I mean, everything was really hot. And just as it got to the bottom of the hill, everything gave out. But luckily, I was going back up the hill.
But then you're stuck there at the bottom of the hill.
No, it was way worse than that, actually, because it was the 50th anniversary, and I had a couple back there with me, too.
Oh.
And they were probably doing it back there. Time of their lives.
Right. Golden anniversary.
The golden anniversary is back there. Like, oh, my God,
there,
hey.
There were the children back there, the older.
You're rocking the whole limo.
That's why old roads.
It was pretty bad.
Did you learn?
Is everything okay?
did you learn?
Not to trust the GPS.
There you go.
There you go.
Never trust. The day when the GPS first came about. But
thank you so much, Mike.
We need runaway limo ramps. I've said that. We got them for the semis. What about limos?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have used
one.
Why
not just use a semi ramp?
Too big. I would have used one of those just once in my life. That's on my bucket list, even if I don't need to.
Uh-huh.
I've heard that if you use that, you have to pay for it to come and re, you know, they got to put the rocks back.
So you just want to gun it, then not use the brakes.
Go, whoopsie, brakes are working.
You
want to get it fun, kind of like?
Do it.
Yeah.
Well, not until it's later.
Not until you're dying or something?
When I'm old enough, when I'm about to take my license away, that's what I'll do. What a way to go out.
There was a guy I was in school with. We were driving cross country, heading to Montana. And he would, every time there was a big truck ramp, a runaway truck ramp, he'd, oh my God, roll down the window and take a picture of it. Like, what are you doing? He's like, I collect runaway truck ramp pictures.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
I slept with my eyes open that entire trip.
I was going to say, he sounds like a serial killer.
And you laugh at me for collecting coins. Look at my coins in those photos.
I don't know.
I'm intrigued by that.
I think I'd rather look at his photos of runaway truck ramps than your coins.
That's traffic on 95.5 KLOS. All right, we've got a pair of tickets to the nighttime show with Stephen Kramer Glickman. It's at the Hollywood Improv this Saturday. Be caller 20 at 800-955-KLOS. That's caller 20. Tickets are furnished by the Hollywood Improv. And now it's time for News of the Day with Lisa May. Our 5K band of the day is Jimi Hendrix. You want to listen for them today in the 9, noon, 4, and 5 o'clock hours. That will give you a shot at $5,000. That's coming up tomorrow. Hey, if you decide to go see Marvel's Black Panther movie, you probably want to ignore Rotten Tomato ratings. They've been pretty good. By all accounts, the movie is actually excellent. But there is a group of DC fans that are going to try to sabotage it. There are about 2,000 members of this Marvelous Realm group, and they are angry about what they see as an unfair treatment of DC's films. And they're planning to give Black Panther rotten reviews and also try to spread spoilers so they ruin the film for all of us. That's terrible. Black Panther opens on February 16th. Stone Temple Pilots is coming out with a new album with their new singer, Jeff Gutt. The new single has just been released. It's called Roll Me Under, and we've got a clip.
Roll me under. I'm on the singers for you. Do it.
you know, recreational marijuana is legal here in California. Yay! When the law was passed, it included a provision that allowed people with prior low-level offenses to petition for expungement, but that can be expensive. So now, two cities here in California have decided to clear the criminal records of thousands of people with misdemeanor convictions for pot possession dating back 40 years, but they aren't going to make you go get a lawyer and do it that way. They're just going to get rid of the convictions. That's San Diego and San Francisco. So if you are convicted in those cities, that is great news for you. You don't have to do anything. They're going to do it automatically. And Colin Kaepernick is a man of his word. Yesterday, he announced he completed his pledge to donate $1 million to communities in need. To wrap up his pledge, he asked a number of high-profile athletes and artists to donate $10,000 to a charity of their choice, which he then matched dollar for dollar. He called it the 10 for 10 challenge. Some of the artists and athletes who joined in were Usher, Jesse Williams, Nick Cannon, and Steph Curry. It is 8:53. That's News of the Day with Lisa May. Up next, it's more Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS.
Live from the Morongo Casino Studios, it's Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on 95.5 KLOS and KLOS HD1.
Los Angeles.
You're talking about that heavy set woman.
That's the word I was looking for.
And Lay's announces the 10 lucky semifinalists in the latest Do Us a Flavor program. Remember that? Like every year you can come up with some flavor. Maybe Lay's will turn it into a reality.
One of them's still out on the market. There's biscuits and gravy. I saw at CVS.
Really? It's still out?
Potato chips, really?
Biscuits and gravy. I've not tried them, but I saw them there.
Biscuits and gravy won last year.
Uh-huh.
All right, here's the 10 finalists. You guys wanna, if you were the official judges at the Lay's company.
Okay.
Too bad Michaela's not here with us. Love to hear her input.
See, I'm just picturing the 95-inch hip woman all during this.
Pretend she's here as well, okay. and imagine what she would vote for, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Lay's Sloppy Joe.
Sounds intriguing.
What would you say, Frosty? Yes or no on Sloppy
Joe?
Oh,
yeah. I love that. Sloppy Joe.
No.
I think Michaela would go Sloppy Joe.
Oh, for sure she would.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, Sloppy Joe goes to the next round.
Okay.
Lay's Crispy Taco.
Sure.
Yeah. That actually sounds really good. That's better than Sloppy Joe.
Well, if you like barbecue potato chips like I do, then Sloppy Joe and Crispy Taco is right in that same
Crispy Taco
pocket.
Doesn't seem a stretch from any nacho. Like a Dorito chip is kind of crispy taco.
No, but you get the taco meat, this taco seasoned meat.
That's what the Dorito is taco seasoned chip.
But this is the whole taco. You probably get a little bit of cheese.
You know Doritos were invented at Disneyland?
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's another reason to go, to pay homage.
It's a fact.
Huh.
Anyway.
All right. So taco, okay.
So taco passes to the next round. Lay's wavy spinach artichoke dip. Michaela would say no too, so but nope.
Is there vegetables? No.
Sorry.
It's too healthy. She has spinach and artichoke.
Yeah, I'll vote for Michaela. Lay's kettle cooked smoked gouda and honey. That does sound oddly delicious.
It sounds good, but Michaela.
Smoked gouda and honey.
Smoked cheese.
Michaela wouldn't
honey.
Like that? No. Okay.
It's not going to top Sloppy Joe's. Come on.
Lay's wavy fried green tomatoes.
No.
Hell no.
They're sour.
Lay's Nashville hot chicken.
Michaela's
all on top of that. Okay. It keeps going. Lay's kettle cooked everything bagel with cream cheese.
Yes.
Oh, Michaela would like that.
I really think so. All right. Lay's wavy avocado toast.
No. Hell. Oh, I had that recently. It was awful.
Lay's toasted raviolis.
Interesting, maybe. Sure.
Yeah, I'll say yes.
Yeah.
And then finally, Lay's bacon wrapped jalapeno popper.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Bacon. There's your
bacon
winner.
And anything.
So, yeah. Those are the finalists. We'll see. Exactly. I guess you win.
Of those, boy, that's tough. I still go with Sloppy Joe, though. Sloppy Joe chips?
Semifinalists each receive $10,000 in prize money. The two runner-up finalists will receive $50,000.
How did
the grand prize winner will take home a $1 million check. All you had to do was come up with one of these.
A title. How did fried green tomatoes and avocado toast even make it that far that you're talking about? I'd be like, no. What else you got?
They probably felt the need to put the obligatory healthy entry or two in there, you know, for vegetarians or whatever.
I've never had avocado toast. So you basically take toast. and then you spread avocado like butter on it.
Yeah, but the avocado, and usually it's mixed with maybe like a little bit of lemon or something. You mix it up and make it.
So basically, it's guacamole on toast.
Yeah, it's not.
Need some bacon in there. Stuff. Bacon.
It's a little bland, honestly. So,
there's that.
I'm starving. Thank you, Frank.
I know.
It's too early for potato chips. It's not too early for booze news.
Oh, no.
It's too early. Time to learn about booze news. Time to learn about booze news.
Really,
time
potato, to learn about booze news. Food.
Now let's take a shot.
I know you love wine, Heidi.
Mm-hmm.
Would you drink a bottle of wine that was, let's see, 221 years old?
If it was kept properly. Not if it's, well, I found this in the back of my grandpa's old Vega. It's been in the barn.
It's in the back seat.
Then probably not.
So it's baked in the summer sun for a few decades now.
But if it's been cellared,
so wine can stay that long. It doesn't. I mean, doesn't eventually at all go to vinegar at some point?
That's what I heard. Like, I don't know wine that well, but I heard.
Even if you have a nice bottle of wine, you bet at some point you better drink it. Yeah. Don't wait on that great day to happen or special occasion because it will go bad, and then you wasted your money.
It's not like whiskey. Whiskey and those fine liquors like that, you could be like a 16-27 bottle worth $1 million because it gets more mellow. It's better with age, but not wine,
well,
right?
Plus, like a fine wine, it's supposed to.
Remember, I don't drink wine, but people give me a bottle of wine every Christmas for the holidays, and after 20 years, I had 20 bottles of wine up on top of my house.
You have so many close friends.
I don't even know.
People buy me bottles of wine all the time. I don't drink it.
You'd rather have a six-pack of beer.
Anyway, then there was that... The power went out for about a week out where I live a few years ago.
Oh, right.
It was one of those 110-degree weeks.
It's over.
So it all went to vinegar, right?
Well, yeah, it all went bad.
I gave it all to Goodwill because I wouldn't go to
There were some homeless people very happy about that.
All of our FHF shot glasses have, like, gank in them.
I washed mine. I knew you were up to something.
Oh, no, here,
I washed mine today. I knew you'd...
All right. I found one clean one. And then this
mine.
One.
So they must have found this old wine.
Yeah, they did. A museum at a New Jersey university knocked down a Prohibition-era wall and made a shocking discovery, a stash of wine bottles up to 221 years old. It was at the Liberty Hall Museum at Keene University in Union. Said they knew there was a wine cellar behind the wall, but they had no idea of what they would find when they tore down the plywood and plaster.
Oh.
Wine?
Yeah.
You knew there was a wine cellar behind the wall.
Geraldo, how come you missed
this
one?
It's just an empty room.
Good detective work there, pal.
Yeah, they were doing some renovation project. The officials said they found three unopened wooden boxes that contained more than 50 bottles of Madeira wine, whatever that is. But it's still not going to be kept at temperature.
It's
behind a wall. Mm. And they built the wall because it was prohibition, so people would know it's back there.
But it's probably gone bad.
It wasn't chilled.
Yeah, probably wasn't
at a perfect 56. What's the perfect temperature for your?
I mean, red wine, I like it at 55.
I mean, you have a wine cellar, Heidi. So from Closet Wine Cellars,
mm-hmm. Best. It's my prized possession. That's why I would never want to sell that house.
Don't you have a thermostat on it? What do you keep wine at?
50. I keep my red at 55.
55 degrees, mm-hmm. And that's the perfect temp.
Mm-hmm. How many bottles do you have in there in your wine cellar?
She has two.
I have two.
She has dueling wine cellars, which is pretty kick-ass.
There's 80 in each one. So
I like
160
you.
Bottles.
I've never
times.
Liked you more, Heidi, than this very moment in time.
Now, wait do you see it? And I donated amazing. The chandelier. The place is awesome.
Yeah, it's my prized possession room. If I would have no problem selling that house, but that room.
That was my gift to Heidi. That chandelier to really tie it all together. It does. Doesn't it, though?
The chandelier was sitting in his garage. He wasn't even using it.
No,
it
was this wonderful chandelier that I had, and I was like, I don't have my house. It's not. This thing does not work in my house. Totally works in that room, right?
It's beautiful, yeah.
Brought it all together.
You gave her a chandelier.
I mean...
For Christmas, you gave me a
rusty chandelier. It's really what it
sounds
is.
Like
I gave her a rusty chandelier.
I mean, it had to be refurbished.
Look it up on Urban Dictionary.
And I accepted it. What a sicko am I.
Did you refurbish it? I thought it was nice.
Well, you know, it had to have some
stuff. Oh, a couple of the stems.
Well, those were
candle stems.
Like the paper.
Yeah, they were...
I had them waxed out.
Had them waxed out.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, you ruined it.
You waxed out your dirty chandelier? That sounds really
nice. I made it. It was sitting in his garage. It needed some TLC.
See some old bottles there.
I mean, I would try it, but I don't know.
It's all bad.
Have a sip. It might be amazing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, if they don't open it, it's worth lots of money because it's a collector bottle, right? A lot of these old collector bottles you don't drink. You just keep, you know, like old coins you don't spend.
Yeah, I got to drink.
Just put it on display, but never open it. Also,
could you do that with a bottle of whiskey that you would just never ever drink? It's sitting there.
No, because whiskey wouldn't go bad.
But eventually you want to be like, I got to crack it open. I have to.
Remember my story, the Naupaug Castle 1955?
No, that stuff sucked. It tasted like Diesel's ass.
It wasn't all that great, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Was it old?
It was supposed to be, according to the whiskey critics, the best whiskey in the world. And there are only like 400 bottles left that
and
were
you
known.
You bought one.
Yeah, I did.
Holy cow.
And
it'd be like if you found an old school bus in a junkyard, old Diesel school bus, and there was still something left in the carburetor, and you'd drank it.
It was $1,600.
But see, you just don't have a taste.
We cracked it up. I didn't intend to drink it, but we were drinking. And said, I got that Naupaug. Let's see what this stuff does. We drank it. It wasn't all that good.
Somebody likes that taste, though. Because no, I've gone to scotch tastings where people are like, No.
It's just
this was bad. I mean, it's not Malort bad, but it's bad.
Okay.
Did I tell you about a replacement bottle?
Why would you do that if it was awful?
Because I still wanted one. So two of the 400 known to Earth I've had. And by the way, we finished that bottle on our last show on KLSX, that other station. That was the bottle we were drinking from on our final show.
That was the Naupaug?
You had that.
I thought that was good.
See, it wasn't awful.
We were wasted by the time we cracked that bottle open.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was that. That's in, I ended up in Tom Likas' studio, and he finished it off, I guess. So that's where that one of those bottles ended up. So I bought a replacement bottle.
No, he probably kept it until everyone he bought it. Son of a bitch.
So I'll get another bottle. Maybe we can crack it open here someday.
Really? Because I thought that was the bottle that we got so drunk that you forgot it and left it there, and then it disappeared. Of all the bottles, the $1,600 bottle.
I just thought we'd do a couple shots and then go home with me, but then we got so trashed that I'd left it there and it ended up
Frosty.
With the next show.
Anyway. We have one more booze news story before we drink our shot. Yeah. Haagen-Dazs, Canada, mixes alcohol and ice cream with new line of spirits flavors.
Alcohol and ice cream.
Oh, my God, Frosty.
This is so...
You're a big booze, you're a big ice cream, Heidi. This is hot. This is boozy ice cream.
I don't like that. I don't like mixing those worlds at all. I really, really? Don't. No, I'm the beer float and all that.
Irish coffee ice cream?
And
Oh, my God.
Yes, please.
It doesn't sound
please.
Bad. But like when people are like, oh, we've got this wine
vodka
ice cream.
Vodka key lime pie ice cream.
Oh,
it's like a kamikaze.
I'm ready to float. I'm ready to just float out in the air and seek
now
one.
Now we're fat and drunk. I mean, what the hell?
What's changed?
Just another Monday.
Rum infused ice cream, chunks of vanilla, caramel ripple.
Oh, on a hot summer day out in the backyard sipping
that.
Smooth whiskey and rich chocolate truffle.
Yeah, hot summer day. You know, eat that fast because you're hot and you're hammered.
Kind of it's almost like a shake. I think you like give kind of like
ginger cookie premium rum ice cream.
Mm.
I'm getting hungry.
Me too.
Dang it.
I had a new flavor ice cream. Did not have any booze in it. Sorry, but
Fireball ice cream be good.
It would.
Speaking of that,
Fireball in a shot.
We just learned about booze news. We just learned about booze news. We just learned about booze news. Let's take one more shot.
That was a Fireball. Thanks, Glickman, for bringing that in.
It's almost gone.
New York shop. Well, the show's early. New York shop is offering an ice cream with a topping. It's not booze, but it's something else. Johnny's got a photo to show all of you VIPs watching online.
A topping we wouldn't expect.
No, but people say it's great. They love it. It adds a bit of a crunch to it. It's not crunch.
I know.
What is it?
Onion strings.
No good guess, though.
Like, I mean, green bean casserole ice cream. Ugh.
Who knows? It might be good.
No. No.
I'll give you a
crunchy topping.
I'll give you a hint.
Is it a cereal? Breakfast cereal?
Nope, it's not.
Is it bacon bits?
No. Good guess,
but wrong. That'd be kick-ass,
though.
No. A little sweet and savory?
What happens when I tell a joke?
Croutons?
No. What happens when I tell a joke that goes nowhere?
Bombs. There's bombs on top
what
of the
do
ice cream.
Hear?
Bombs?
Not bombs.
Crickets?
Crickets. Crickets, grasshoppers, and other insects. Yes, insect ice cream, my friends.
Well, I'd have to have the ice cream to eat insects.
Keep in mind, they are crunchy, and some people say there's
well,
protein.
Well, crickets, like, if they're done right, I had them over at Santa Monica Airport Typhoon restaurant, and they're done. If you would close your eyes or not, you know, you're just like, oh, it tastes like a potato chip, because they're crunchy and they're
just
salty.
Just eat potato chips.
Well, I know, but
it might be,
and they come,
good.
The antenna and eyeballs and the whole thing. Like, they don't even disguise them. They're just on a plate.
Well, mix it up in the ice cream, you don't see it.
Yeah,
they serve it on top.
Grind them up and put them in little cricket cubes.
I guess.
So they look like a crouton.
I wonder, you know that the health department has to give you like an A, B, C rating and you put in the window. What do you get if there's crickets and bugs and grasshoppers on the actual food product? Does that lower you to a C instantly?
Yeah, the health inspector goes mad. Doesn't know what to do.
And then you're explaining, no, they're clean crickets. What?
Anyway, there you go.
But like you said, in the future, that's probably going to be our food supply. So test them now.
There's plenty of insects.
Right.
See, we're also uppity here in Los Angeles, but if you're in some starving part of the country where there's little protein things hopping around your backyard every night,
yeah.
You go out there and catch them and make some stew, you wouldn't admit it.
Yeah.
In other news.
I couldn't eat them alive, though. I would.
I mentioned the wine found in the wall. You said there's something that was found in brand new cars.
Yes, there was. If you bought a Ford Fusion lately.
Which I did.
Did you?
Yes. That's my daughter's car. I bought her a Ford Fusion. New.
Frank, you get to go out there today when you get home and take a box cutter and rip up the seats.
Oh, yeah. Just do that.
Okay. It is her birthday.
Uh-huh.
because there's a chance.
Is it a lease? I mean...
You might be rich. If you bought a brand new Ford Fusion lately,
yeah,
you may have drugs in the seats.
Woohoo!
We got some photos here to show you as well. There we go. Authorities say there are millions and millions of dollars have been found in the seats of Ford Fusions. Now, keep in mind, the Ford Fusion is put together in Mexico. Ford American Company, but they assemble them down there, and whoever the drug cartels, that's how they've been, they're sneaking their drugs up, millions and millions of dollars in the seats of
smart.
Ford Fusions, seats and door panels.
What kind of drugs?
Dope.
That
weed.
Looks like weed.
I
yeah.
think I'd smell that.
Weed. They say one car can hold about $1 million of weed. That's how they actually were onto it, because they noticed on a hot summer day,
so what,
the cars
the wrong,
go like weed.
The wrong Ford guy got the shipment, like he's waiting on, the shipment's coming, and the wrong Ford guy got it, like... Because if the right guy gets it, he's going to go ahead and cut them open, get it out. Put the
Obviously, thing. It's when they come crated. It's like this crate is going to this particular dealership, and then somebody in
Where
the service department or whatever has the connection with the guy
who's
in
gonna
down south.
Who's going to see the car first?
They found it in different
takes
parts.
Takes the seats out, replaces the seats.
All different parts of the country, Ohio and other places, Pennsylvania, I guess in the east.
So they got scattered everywhere instead of going to the one guy.
Yeah, they did. Dither and fro.
You know you want to cut those seats open.
Oh, so good. Let's just go home today and we'll videotape it. We'll Facebook Live it.
$1 million of weed
nope,
in your
no
car.
No weed. Sorry.
Dang it.
So be honest, if you cut open your Ford Fusion cushions and found $1 million of marijuana, would you call the authorities or have one hell of a party?
I'd call my upholstery guy.
Sky's the limit. I
got a couple
I
mean, tears in my seats.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened.
I mean, what kind of idiot would drive it back to Ford and go, could you take this car back with $1 million of weed in the door panels and seats? I don't want it now. I don't want this $1 million of drugs. God.
I think I'd take it to, the San Vegas has a shortage right now.
Oh, that's right.
Double your money.
Here you go, dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, now you're getting greedy, though.
What?
I can turn this $1 million into $1.5 million. I go to Vegas.
They need it. They're desperate.
Take
your
million.
I'll put it all
party.
On green.
Sports on tap. On the Rock of Southern California. 95.5 KLOS.
Tough night for the Lakers in Orlando. Evidently, Epcot's World Showcase took a little too much out of them. They trailed the Magic by as few as three. They would go on to lose by 22. Julius Randle had 20. Jordan Clarkson did as well. And there's a story from the NBA that I think would cause all basketball fans, if not all sports fans, to lose their mind. Sources are saying LeBron James is open to free agency talks with the Warriors. That cannot happen. I'm Pete Fox, that's Sports on Tap on the Rock of Southern California, 95.5 KLOS.
Race fans, the NHRA Metal Yellow Drag Racing Series kicks off with the Lucas Oil NHRA Winter Nationals, February 8th through the 11th at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. Want to win a VIP pit crew experience with Frank Kramer, which includes a tour of the pit area, hospitality passes, photo op, and a meet and greet with Ron Capps, driver of the Napa Auto Parts Dodge Charger Funny Car. Go to 95.5KLOS.com to register, and for race info, go to NHRA.com. Ignite your senses.